Duke.
Stu.
I'm away on Sunday and Monday next week.
You're away on Sunday and Monday of next week. What the hell do you want me to do about it?
You know, you're as bad as Chinny. Anyway,
that's what I said. I said, what the fuck do you want from me?
It was supposed to be groundbreaking revelation.
No, it's on the nights that we normally record, so I won't be here.
I know what nights we normally record here.
Well, shut up and listen.
I care what you think.
Are you available on Tuesday night was all I was
asking. Tuesday night?
Well, not Tuesday night for you, but
right,
obviously.
Tuesday at, well, not at 3 p.m., obviously.
No, 4 p.m., so it'd be 10 o'clock
out. Let's check our schedule.
Let's check your schedule, young man.
Schedule. I do not believe I have anything on the... Oh, wait, the 12th. No, I don't think I have anything on the 12th.
Do you know, he did that. No, I haven't. So is that okay with you then?
Sure, let me add podcast.
Right. In that case, should we just get sort of diddling, I guess?
Did the recording stop?
That's a good word.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to be cut out for 3 seconds. You see? Being pedantic and annoying worked. Hooray for me.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. You ready, Chinny?
Yeah, you ready, Chinny? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Is it yes?
I ain't got no biscuits and gravy.
Welcome, y'all, to the Veteran Gamers. Juju, Chinny, and the fellas will tell you about every single game that you're playing this week.
Hello!
Stu Story Time and Chinny's Game Breakers. Here comes Duke with the soundbite saviors.
Do what it looks like, Stu Big.
It's the Veteran Gamers.
Stop trying to make the fetch happen. Gamers. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, boy.
Like anybody f***ing gives a shit.
Switch that console off before you have to press repeat, yo.
Hello and welcome to show. Dino. Dino.
I can't help it. I'm feeling giddy and happy.
Oh my god. Anyway.
Yay, fun.
It is show 325, so welcome to that, I guess.
Welcome to show 325 of the Veteran Gamers Podcast. I'll do your job, I guess.
Yeah, you can be. Look, you're the one who interrupted. You spoiled it.
I'm Duke.
I'm Stu.
Barbecue nuts.
what? Barbecue nuts.
I'm eating barbecue nuts. So.
That is a funny name.
You're right. I get a phone call.
The what?
He's getting a phone call again.
Oh, for God's sake.
He had a phone call last week.
I know. What is he like? Is he some sort of switchboard? What's going on? I've just imagined him like, you know, like those old-fashioned 1970s TV shows where they have all those like, cords with jacks on there and you just keep on sticking them in different holes.
We used to have one of those phones where you
sticking them in different holes.
We used to have one of those house phones where you put your finger in and then move it all the way around, like the dial,
yeah,
like the circle thing.
You put your finger in.
You do. My friend's mum and dad used to have one of those phones when I was a kid growing up, and they had one of those locks in it. Did you ever see those?
Did you ever see those? Why did your friend have a lock? I've seen them in hotels. Why did your friend have it?
So that the kids weren't allowed to make phone calls.
So,
you see, so they weren't allowed to abuse the phone. So they basically used to lock it in between.
And you abuse the phone? You just swear at it and stuff.
Take that phone.
Similar like that. Similar like that.
We're live on Twitch, by the way, Stu.
Twitch.
I know.
We broadcast
I know.
Live every time we record the show. Usually we that do. Is Sunday 9 p.m. British time. But next week, it's going to be the week after, which is the 12th of April. So if you listen to this and you want to join in next podcast. But yeah, it's usually Sunday. There's a few people in the chat now. There's
I know. It's impressive.
Captain Turtle. See?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Fish, exempt Mr. Fish. Hardly Dan, Really O'Reilly, and Viva La Pedros and Tuscan are all in at the moment. So we'll probably get some more as we go on. So hello to those guys.
Yes, hello. Hardly Dan got a present this week, I noticed, on Twitch.
Really? Oh, yes, he got a button.
He did it, well, or a badge. A come on. It's a badge.
Button.
It's a badge.
Badge.
A button is something you press to make something
happen.
How about
a pin? Could we call it a pin?
It's not a pin. A pin is what you use to hold up the hem of a piece of clothing before you sew it.
How about this? Several words mean different things in different places, and it's okay if we call it something slightly different from what you're used to.
How about a badge, which is what it is?
Well, no, we think of badges as being something you win in Boy Scouts.
I guess.
Boring. I'm bored now.
It's boring. It is a bit boring, actually, to be fair.
So how are we?
I'm all right. I shouldn't be so good,
but I am. Sorry.
Why are you so good, Duke? What's good?
I don't know. I think I'm living in denial. My grades are due on Tuesday at 3 o'clock, and I've got this mountain of papers to grade, and I'm just like, whatever. It'll get done. I know
it'll solve itself.
I'm going to end up doing that thing where I put numbers on the papers, but I don't put comments on until later.
Yeah, I see what you're doing there.
But it's like, whatever. It'll get done. And all the comments that I put down are worthwhile, so like, if my only sin is getting papers back late, I'm like, whatever. Students deserve good feedback. And they do. And the fact that I have so many papers to grade, that's because we have class sizes that are too big. So it's not my fault.
It's not your fault, man. You want to be meaningful, don't you? You don't want to give them some just lip service.
See, and these students wrote 10-page papers for the Creative 2 independent project. One of them came to talk to me during the two-week period we had to work on it. So if they wanted feedback, they could have come seen me, but none of them did except one. So anyway, the point is that I feel like I owe them more than just 30 seconds of, like, good job and a score. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or one of those, like, job well done stamps.
Now, do I have to write a whole page in response to every single project? Probably not. But you know what? That's kind of what I do.
So do you write a whole page on what you do?
Yeah, I write a whole. It's pretty ridiculous. I should just write a half a page or.
Or even four lines would be good.
Yeah, I know. That's
why it takes you so long, man.
I know. That's the thing. If I were smart, I would just be like, you know, here's a few sentences of feedback. But I'm know what? I want to give you a lot of feedback. So,
do you think, though, let's just cut to the chase here.
Who knows?
What do you think I'm going to ask
you? You're going to ask me if the students actually read what I write.
Correct. Did they read that whole page
of
feedback you gave?
Look, during the first 10 minutes of class, it's journal writing time. They're supposed to be writing about a different topic every day. I give them topics, and they're supposed to write about them. And when they – generally speaking, they do write, which is good. I mean, you know, some don't, obviously. But for the most part, they do. And when I hand back papers during that time, a lot of time they'll stop what they're writing and just sit and read.
Maybe it's a good thing then.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the thing is you never know. Like, okay, let's say you have 30 students in a class. If you give back papers, okay, 20 of them will look at them. 10 of them, 5 of them will really take, you know, heed at them probably. And 5 of them will completely ignore what you write. But here's the thing. You don't always know which 5 will ignore what you write, and you don't know which 5 are going to really take it to heart. So you have to plant the seed every day knowing that a number of them won't germinate.
You see, what you should do, like, whilst in the middle of the writing, you should, like, slip a swear word in or something, right? Or something
and
shocking.
And if they noticed it, I'll get fired. And if they don't, then it's fun.
But also, if they notice, you'll know they've read it.
That's true. And then I'll get fired.
Then you'll get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I've done something very weird this week.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's been
time.
Weird.
It's story time.
Story time.
It's not really a story as such, but I've downloaded the MeTomo or whatever the hell it's called.
What is this? I keep seeing people talk about it.
Oh my god. I don't know what it is. It's by Nintendo, right? And you create like an avatar.
Wait. Is it on the computer or smartphone?
No. It's on everything. It's kind of on all sort of mobile devices. So it's on Android, it's on iPod, it's on, I don't know, it's on Windows. I don't
it's
even
for
know
a
it's
handheld
on Windows.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the first sort of mobile app by Nintendo.
Okay.
And basically you create a Mii, you know, like you get on the Wii U and all that jive. And you obviously give it your name. You can link it to your actual Wii U account, but I couldn't even remember, you know, what my login details were or anything, so I couldn't be bothered doing that.
We're talking about shit. You can't remember your login details for the Wii U.
No, I can't. No,
you play that thing every day.
All the time. But yeah, it's quite funny, though, because it takes a photograph of you. You know, you do like a selfie.
Right.
And then it creates an avatar.
A selfie,
that's
for the children that don't know, is a picture where you take a picture of yourself, usually with the camera on the front of the phone. Thank you very much.
It is true. And then it kind of supposedly creates an avatar that looks like you.
Right.
You know, but it's weird, right? Because it does this weird thing, right? When you're looking, when you do the selfie, it just keeps on going until you stop it, and it does like all these, like, say, 20 odd different avatars that might look more or less like you look, which incidentally look nothing like you look. So then you can edit it. So then you can start fannying around with it and changing the facial hair and all that sort of jive. So I did all that shit. And then you can't invite friends from a username. You can only link it to your Twitter account or your Facebook account, and then it'll look for other people on your Twitter or Facebook who also has a Miitomo or whatever the hell they're called. So it's all a bit weird. So it does that, but then...
I did a web search for Miitomo, and I found this Kotaku article. It has all these different images, and it looks like all the stupidest memes on the internet with these little things in instead.
Yep. So basically what you can do, you can take a picture of your me in the app, and then you can superimpose it on any photograph you want. So people have been doing memes with it and all that sort of stuff.
Memes, M-I-I-M-E-S. Ah!
There you go, you see? Memes. but then it's weird, right? So anyway, that all happens. Well, then you get a few friends. So you do all the friendship.
I have no friends.
And then it's like a job interview.
What?
It just asks you loads of weird questions like, what was the favorite, or what song can you not get out of your head? Or what was the last book you read that made you cry?
I would put like weird stuff in there, like the song that you can't get out of your head.
I did.
The Devil, yeah. Satan. All right.
Yeah. Do you prefer cats or dogs?
Hamsters.
It's just weird, right? And then obviously people come to visit you, so you'll turn it on, and like for instance today, like Armar was in my little like area, sort of chatting to me, and then you can click on him and then he'll ask you loads of questions as well, and then people can favorite your answers or respond or put comments.
I'm downloading it now, by the way.
It's very weird. You'll have to let us know well, play it's a bit of a stretch, but then there's obviously a shop where you can you get coins for everything you do in the game, and well, I don't even know it's a game, I guess it's an app. And then you can go and buy different clothing for your little avatar. Yeah, it's just weird. It's just strange.
Okay.
But weirdly addictive. I don't know why.
Oh, here's a thing in Steam that I'll never need to have checked. Use desktop game theater while Steam VR is active. When did that appear? Go fuck yourself, Steam.
Oh, apparently that's really, really good. That's getting lots of props.
I'm never going to know, because who cares?
Because you haven't got a VR headset that everyone's loving. If they've, well, everyone's loving if it actually arrived, because apparently there's a component shortage, and as a result, all the people who pre-ordered the Oculus Rift, lots of them haven't actually received one.
See, I have to wonder if this isn't like the shortages of Tickle Me Elmo we had a few years back. Oh,
yeah, but Tickle Me Elmo.
They're not as good in VR, though, are they?
No.
Right, I've got this Mio. Whatever.
Miitomo
app. So I'm loading the app now. I've got a screen full of me's with panda outfits on. Find out the answers your friends have been asking. Okay, I'm from the UK. Okay. Can you hear the music?
Yep.
Hold on.
I know. It's very Nintendo.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. There's an app that uses your me.
Shut up. I hear it.
Accept whatever. Create a link to start without linking an account. Enter date of birth.
Oh, yeah, it wants to know stuff, man.
Today.
Yeah, but today, see what happens.
I am 0 days old.
I've literally just been
it's
born.
It's depressing. When the older you get, the more you have to scroll down for your.
I know, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's how it goes,
man. The date of birth for your me is the 3rd of September 1985. Do you want to proceed with this date?
Yes.
These characters that are under 13 cannot use the app.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Please hold on the screen. What the fuck? Pop up. Like, he didn't even let me read that. Due to a large amount of data, a Wi-Fi connection is recommended.
Oh, better have it on Wi-Fi.
I have got it on Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
if you receive a Mio... Oh, fucking hell. It doesn't let me read anything.
I don't need to read. It's just a cute little thing.
It keeps skipping things. It's loading.
Yeah, well, just keeps it. Well, that's the YouTube generation. Just keep skipping stuff.
Please hold... on a screen to hear me talk as fast as I can. I need to move it again. Listening to answers and answering questions will...
Yeah, you can slow down your voice and make it duper or higher. Yeah, it talks as well, by the way. You have a voice. It's very...
Okay, well, it's on 34% and it's loading something.
Yeah, it's loading the me world in the background, I guess.
I'm already regretting this.
But you're bored, aren't you? You're bored already. You've not even got into the app.
Fucking hell.
Well, we'll come back to that anyway.
The 53. I'll let you know when it's done.
Yeah, let us know. We'll come back to it and we'll see how you get on. But I don't know. I don't see the point because it's not like a messenger app because it's not like you can message people on it or anything.
2 months? God damn.
What?
Nothing.
What's the matter with you now?
I'll tell you
a different podcast, too.
I know, yeah. You're talking to someone else.
Is this a video game podcast?
I know, yeah. What the hell's going on? Or is it just let's blurt out random dates or
fudge pickles
or measures of dates?
July 15th, 1828. Here, what happened on July 15th, 1828?
I don't know. Something probably happened, I guess.
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
There's always something happening. Did you know, though? Here's a fact for you with dates. Did you know in 700,000 BC, all right, 700,000 BC, there were only 10,000 people on the whole Earth.
You say. I think
it's true.
I think there were 6,000 people.
No. There were 10,000 people on the whole Earth.
We called the Bibles, too. We were all crying as every day.
It didn't exist back then.
Which would also suggest that everybody is genetically related to everybody pretty much.
Well, that's 1828.
I don't know what happened then.
That's the year I said, right?
Yeah.
Well, nothing happened that year apparently on July 15th, but on July 15th, 1823, a fire destroyed the ancient Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls in Rome, Italy. So there you go. Wow.
You see, not only video games, but educational as well.
But 1928, nope. But in 1927, the massacre of July 15th happened, where 89 protesters were killed.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Something's happening. Thank God for that.
Let's make a me to represent you in this app.
Ooh.
Create a me quickly. Use camera or photo.
Well, go for camera. Take one of yourself now. Okay. Do that.
Would you like to access the camera? Yes. Select a hairstyle. Got to go for the long hair, right?
I'll be Jesus. Has it got a Jesus look?
I'm looking for a Jesus one. They're quite feminine.
Funky.
Right.
Busting bad lyrics while Chinny sets up me Tomo, and I got a big...
Right. Go for that one.
A big Watto.
I can't think of anything that rhymes with me Tomo.
I know, yeah.
That's right, people. You're listening to Chinny set up this...
You are listening to now. Chinny.
Oh, it's already
set it up.
It's done.
Okay. Does it look like you?
It's coming up with loads of different suggestions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any look like you?
Right, view results.
Yeah, go for it.
One looks like me, yeah.
Okay, go for that one then.
My hair is very combed over to the front. Now it's asking me for a gender. What, didn't it work it out with a picture, you cheeky bastard?
No, obviously it can't tell whether you're a man. Well, when you've got long hair, it might not be able to work it out.
If you aren't happy with this avatar, or me, or whatever, you can change it. Okay.
We need to hear your voice, Chinny. Are you in yet? Are you in?
I've got to give it nicknames, right? Chinny. Oh, God.
Yeah, just do that. Chinny.
There
you go. Chinny.
Okay.
I'm in America.
I think he knows his name. Chinny.
Right.
My nickname is Chinny.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, so you have to change the pitch and the depth of it and stuff.
Yeah, you can. You can change your voice. You can change your voice.
Accent. Right out. Let's put it up to the max.
My nickname is Chinny. My nickname is Chinny.
My nickname is Chinny.
Oh, brilliant. Keep that one. That's best. That one was the best.
God, this sucks. Can we please go on?
Sucks. Oh, my God.
You know, this is absolute, classic listening for the listeners out.
I apologize to anyone that listened to that. That is
awesome. Just
That was awful.
That was funny. Right, let's quickly get the division out of the way, because I'm sure like either Chinny or I have played this as we Duke may have played it.
Yeah, I played it a little.
Yeah, let's get this out of the way. So how's everybody getting on in the division then? Still playing?
I nearly died there. Sorry. I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah.
It does feel a bit, okay, we're doing the same thing. I'm a level 21 now, so I haven't really gone up too much. But, yeah, you know, it does feel a bit, let's just do the same thing.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. I mean, I'm just short of level 25 now.
I have to say, I don't get the Dark Zone, too.
I like the Dark Zone, but I'm not
back in. Like, there's nothing to do there.
Because there is, you're just looting, man. Yeah, getting boring. Really loot.
That's boring.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. But anyway, I'm level, just short of level 25. I've finished every story mission bar one.
Right. Okay, you're way ahead of me.
But it's basically, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but when you finish what appears to be the last story mission, another one unlocks.
Oh, I assume so there's that. Like, but what?
Yeah, there's like it's a final,
final story.
Yeah. Final mission. So I haven't done that yet.
So my stance with it, I still like it, still into it. Just finding time to play it, really, is my thing.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, though. The story is pretty much non-existent, really.
New York is messed up.
Yeah. And even when you sort of finish, you just go, carry on, soldier, you've done a great job, but the work isn't over, or something of that nature.
That kind of thing.
That's kind of it, really. And then there's loads more things pop up on your map, and then there's, like, millions more side missions and stuff to do. I mean, I've enjoyed what I've played of it, you know, and I've put in just shy of 30 hours.
Right.
So just shy of 30 hours. So, you know, I've had my money's worth, and I feel like I've had a good game, and I'm enjoying playing with a mate of mine. So, you know, every time he's on, he'll send me a message and go, do you want to play some? And I'm like, yes, for sure, and we'll go and play a few side missions.
Oh, show.
And the shooting is still fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's very much fun.
Yeah, the shooting's still fun.
That's what it sounds like when you shoot people.
It is. So where are you up to, Duke, in this now?
I cleared out all of the sections before. I don't remember which one it's called, but it's like down on the bottom of the map, like contiguous with the Dark Zone, but below it.
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
I've done like all the side missions. I've, you know, there's a side mission when you clear out a zone, it'll be like return to the safe house, and then the dude says thank you so much for all you've done. Well, I've done that in all the other levels up till now, so I'm ready to barrel into the last or the next zone and kick butt and take names.
So what level are you at now then, Duke?
Shooter level.
Fine.
No, it's like 20. No, it's not 20, it's probably like 19 or something like that.
Jesus Christ, hardly Dan's put 84 hours in.
That's crazy. I don't know how many.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I can understand why people do it, though. I get the sort of the loot
it's
dropping.
It's a fun game in
grabbing.
Co-op. Have you been playing in co-op?
Yeah, I've always been playing in co-op. Yeah. So if I'm on my own, I'll just maybe do just a couple of side missions on my own, or, you know, some of the encounter stuff.
Ooh, talking about me, ooh, you know, I streamed The Division on Twitch.
You did. Yeah,
and,
you did. I saw that.
The cool thing that Xbox One do now is that they can stream the party chat.
Oh,
so yeah. Marsh, who was playing with me in the party, you can hear him as well.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like a new update they did. But the only thing is, if you're having trouble with it, when you start streaming, it will pop up on everybody else's party. Your audio is not included. You basically have to go into the party bit on the left and just allow your audio, and then you're good to go.
That's pretty good. I'll be getting familiar with an Xbox One on Tuesday morning. So
the old Quantums.
The old Quantums out. And do you know, I almost cancelled my pre-order. After reading some of the reviews, I was a bit like, oh, I don't know what I should do. Should I still go ahead? But I thought, no, do you know what?
Yeah,
I'm going to stick
with it. Who's
ever been right?
Yeah, exactly. It's out on Tuesday.
Oh, is it?
It's out this Tuesday.
All right,
yeah,
I'll post back my game then.
Yeah, get your game posted.
Trying
back
to time it right so I can get it.
I'm going to go around to Feng Chui on Tuesday. He's going to lend me his Xbox One. I guess he'll have to give me a bit of a tutorial of how to set up the internet on it, etc. at
you
my
plug
house.
It in, cause switch it on.
And plug in. No, but the thing is, here's the interesting thing with.
I doubt it's interesting, but go on.
with Quantum Break is that obviously, you know, it's split up between chapters of video game, then a 20-minute TV show, and then another bit of video game, and then 20 minutes.
I like more when I'm playing a video game than to stop for a 20-minute TV show.
I know. Anyway, it's interesting. I'm interested to see how it all works out. But here's the thing.
I must indicate my agreement with Chinny's assessment.
Here's the thing, though. It's all the video is streamed, so it's not actually on the disc or stored on your Xbox. They stream it from the interweb.
I don't know how I feel about that. They've been doing this thing lately on DVDs where it's like, now loading a trailer from the internet. I'm like, why don't you just put a goddamn trailer on here? Part of the fun of DVDs is going back and watching trailers from like 5 years ago.
So let me just get this straight. Who watches DVDs anymore?
I do.
I watched a DVD last night.
We just watched.
What did you watch?
So shut up.
We was going on Netflix, right? We spent a whole day decorating, wallpapering. So I'm a step closer to the man cave, by the way. Right, so decorating, blah, blah, blah. And we was like, done. There's a nice Indian.
You were decorating?
Sorry?
What sound did it make when you were decorating? You what said, decorating, blah, done. I just want.
Is that the sound it makes?
Again, when you were decorating. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, carry on. Just ignore it. Carry on. That joke was terrible.
It was great.
Right.
It was rubbish.
You threw me off.
Okay. It's a good job we didn't pull you off.
I'm back. Okay, so there's an Indian takeaway. We got takeaway and we sat down. We were watching through Netflix, right? I have bought so many movies on DVD that I've never watched, right?
Yeah.
And Tara went, why don't we watch a DVD? And I went, that is a horrible idea. Let me look through them. And I bought a film I've never watched. And that film is Casino. The Martin Scorsese.
Wow, that's a good film. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, does that ending go on for a long time.
It's not a very happy movie, but that's a...
No, and that bit at the end, it's like, do you know, we went to watch this at the pictures. And that
you
when that
fun of me, but who at the pictures...
Yeah. Anyway,
no one's
here's the thing, though, right?
When
that bit happens at the end of that film, and I know, like, probably everybody who's ever going likely to watch it is going to see it as seen.
Are you talking
it,
about, does it involve the Joe Pesci?
Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. It's like, I'm watching it, and I was like, is this actually ever going to stop? Because, it goes on a long time.
Stop.
I know, and it's horrible, and I was like, oh my god.
Drag on for me. I don't know, I didn't. But anyway, yeah, I watched the DVD, and it was Casino, and it was great.
It's a great film.
And now I want to play more poker.
And you want to play more poker, but I bet it's put you off cheating in a casino.
Yeah, especially with De Niro around.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be doing none of that cheating stuff, because things are going to happen to your fingers that you might not want to happen.
I have to say as well, Scorsese knows how to make a movie, doesn't he? He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. It is a great film, but boy, yes. Oh boy, it's gut-wrenching in places.
Well, I mean, I've seen quite a few Scorsese films, but what other ones has he done?
Departed. Taxi Driver, The Departed.
Aviator he did as well.
Yeah. Scorsese.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, that's right. It is Wolf of Wall Street. Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
I was just going to say, did he do Goodfellas as well?
Mean Streets, The Aviator, Shutter Island. Man, he likes Leonardo DiCaprio. Gangs of New York is good. Yes.
And Joe Pesci. He likes him as well.
Christ, I didn't realize.
I'm Robert De Niro.
I'm Robert De Niro. He likes all of those actors. They're in nearly every film he does.
The Age of Innocence. Color of Money. Ugh.
Yeah, that was a bit. Nah.
Kundun. Bringing Out the Dead. The Irishman.
See, not everyone's
always
going
a hit,
to be
today,
a
hit. I suppose.
Yeah, no, everyone's going to be.
Ridley Scott is not always a hit, though. But when he does hit, he hits well.
Yeah, he does. That is true.
Wow.
Also, Shark's Tail.
Martin Scorsese was good in the movie Quiz Show. He played a pharmaceutical executive.
I didn't know he acted either. I didn't know.
Well, it's a very small role.
Yeah, I can't say as I've ever seen that.
Quiz Show is awesome. You should totally see it. It's a great movie.
But anyway, yeah, I watched the DVD.
That means I can see it.
I don't know.
Yeah, Quantum Break.
Quantum
Break. Anyway, coming back to that, I will be playing it on Tuesday, so hopefully I'll be able to tell you a bit more next week, I guess.
I will try and get it from my rental service, Stuart. So
Yes, I will try.
It comes out on Tuesday, so if I post the thing back on Monday.
That
might be about right.
Yeah, and I'll obviously tell you what I think about the Xbox One as well, I guess.
It's the console that UI sucks, but it's okay.
Yeah.
That's about it.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Anyway. So yeah, I'll try and for next week's show, which is on the 12th on a Tuesday. We will hopefully both have played the Quantum Breaks.
We will do, hopefully. Right, that being said, we should talk about some other games we've been playing. And I can actually see, Chini, that you played games other than The Division.
That's true.
Oh my God!
I know! Right. Is that it?
Tara's trying to talk to me. But she's not really saying anything.
She's not recording a podcast? This is more important.
Yeah, does she not know what's going on?
What do you want, Tara? I'm fine. Thank you very much.
What was she asking? Did you want a drink or something?
Yeah.
Or like a brew?
Yeah.
You
just want a brew? Stop being considerate, Tara.
Stop being considerate, Tara?
Yeah.
How dare you? She stuck her finger up to me.
Yeah. Does she not know how this thing works?
Exactly. You know what I mean?
God.
Now she's looking at me.
Stop looking at Chinny. He cannot podcast when he's mesmerized by your beauty.
Duke says, I cannot podcast when I'm mesmerized by your beauty. She laughed. Right.
Hey.
Good night, Tara.
Good night, Tara.
Right, anyway. Okay, are we started?
I'm not entirely sure if I'm being honest.
Here we go. You ready?
There you go.
We're live.
Yes, I've been playing. Actually, these two games that I've been playing all happened today because I went round my mother and father's house and the twins were there. Boy twin and girl twin.
Oh my God, they'll have been getting to play just weird shit in Gary's mind.
Well, I walked in and, you know, this is the PC that I got for them. They were playing and I saw that Jimmy was playing a game that looked like a bit like Minecraft.
Ha!
And but I was like, what's this? It's a game called Block and Load. Have we heard of this?
Load.
I think I've vaguely heard of this.
Ooh, do I have a new game to check out?
So Block and Load is it's
Call of Duty meets Minecraft.
Minecraft meets Team Fortress meets there was something else.
Last time I looked, this had horrible ratings. Now it's got mostly positive ratings.
Well, it must have been fixed.
Yeah, it's this. I have to say, you know, I'll explain what it is. Shall I explain what it is? Okay,
here we go. Explain what it is.
So it's a multiplayer game, right?
Yeah.
First and foremost, it's a multiplayer game, and you have to pick a class. So there's different classes. Like there's like a ninja and like an engineer called Tony. And I made the joke saying, "Hey, Tony," and Jimmy says, "That's exactly what he sounds like." I went, "Wow, right."
All right, okay, I can see this.
So what you do is the Team Fortress aspect is the classes, right? And it sort of looks like a bit Team Fortress-y.
It does. It's a bit more cartoony than Minecraft.
And then you have the blocks of Minecraft. So one side has a fort, a cube, a big, large cube, and the other side has a cube, and the maps are symmetrical. And you have 5 minutes of prep time, right? So you have 5 minutes to block like the fort as well as you can. So on the stream now you can see that they're blocking the all entrances.
So do you have unlimited blocks?
No, at the bottom you can see that you can make 147 at the moment bricks. And
I see.
You get those by supply drops, the supply drops that come in. So yeah, you know, you've got 5 minutes to prepare your fort. This is all in 3D, by the way. It's like a first person game. And and different classes have different abilities. So the one on the screen now is actually the class that I played as, which is a ninja. So you've got like Wolverine claws, and they're really good for digging through walls. So you can dig through every, like Minecraft, you can dig through every surface.
Right.
So that's quite interesting when you're trying to infiltrate their fort, because you can just make your own tunnel. However, there's always counterbalances and so on. So they can put up satellites. So if you are trying to dig underneath, you will be highlighted by these satellites. You can put down traps. You can put down springs, boosts. You can make a really, really long tunnel underground, put a lot of boosts on the floor, and just boost your way through the tunnel. That was a really clever idea. So yeah, and the idea is to attack their fort and defend.
So is it a bit like Dota in that respect? Do you have to defend your
fort? It is like Dota, and actually Jimmy compared it to Dota, and he said that it was the way it's like Dota is like matches can take 5 minutes or they can take 3 hours. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no expiry date on
no, depending how good the teams are, like, I guess.
It can just go on forever. I usually when Jimmy or Madeline are playing a video game, I just go, ugh, right? But because like, they're usually playing something awful. But I thought it was Minecraft. You know what I mean? Straight away, I thought it was Minecraft. And I was like, this isn't Minecraft. So I was interested in that. What I don't want to do is become this old man that goes, oh, it's not a game that I know, so forget it. I try and keep an open mind. So I was really trying to learn about the game. And the more I learned about it, the more I got into it, and I had a go on it. And I was really impressed, to be honest. It's pretty good. It's quite difficult, quite frantic, but it's presented well. The other game that I was going to compare it to was Skylanders, actually.
Oh, right,
because,
okay.
The different classes, there's the game is free to download. And the way they make their money is you can buy different classes, and I think you can buy different costumes for your classes. So you can earn gold in the game, and you have to earn quite a lot of gold to unlock characters. And Jimmy's almost unlocked one of the characters. But like they give you a video. Like, you know, Skylanders used to tease you. Like, it used to be a cock tease, and you'd be like, here's a video of this character, and get your daddy to buy
awesome
the figure. So it was like an advert for the figure, basically. And yeah, that's what this does. It does the same things. So, like, you know, you can play as, like, there's a like a clown you can play as, and he's got like this like poison ability and stuff. It's very well presented, well made. The trailer videos they had for each characters were funny and voice acted and felt like Skylanders. It doesn't feel cheap and cheerful. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like a cheap game. It's good, you know, it feels really fleshed out. It feels like there's a counterbalance to everything you do. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. Like, it's an example of using really good mechanics of different games and mashing them all together. It's a bit of a Frankenstein, really, in a way. And I don't think, you know, it's anything that we've completely not seen before. You know, I think there's a Clash of Clans sequel, isn't there? Clash Royale, is it, or something? Clash Royale,
where Royale with cheese.
Yeah, Royale with cheese.
Yeah,
and it's
one
like
of those.
Two forts. It's essentially the same thing, but with Minecraft mechanics. And I don't know. It just felt like lots of different games that you've played before mixed into one, and it worked really well. It worked really well. And
I think we get a lot of that now. I mean, is this still in early access?
I don't know. I don't know much about it, to be honest. It's free. That's all I know. And it's pretty well made. What I will say, though, is it is funny how I said to Jimmy, can I look at your Steam library? Right.
Yeah, and I look see at what he's Steam, actually got in there.
And I'll see what he's buying. And naturally, he's got bloody Call of Duty on there and GTA. What can you do? Hey, what can you do? But
Naturally.
But he doesn't play them that often, actually. But what he does have are lists of games. And I go, where did you hear about that? And he goes, there's a YouTuber called Vanoss Gaming.
I learned it by watching you.
Yeah, no, there's a YouTuber called Vanoss Gaming, and Jimmy and Madeline love Vanoss Gaming.
The kids are mad on these YouTube channels.
So
I mean,
basically, like, Madeline found out about that Dragon Cancer because she watched PewDiePie play it. Right? And I said, he isn't laughing and joking all the way through that video. And he's like, oh, no, he's been very serious, actually. And I was like, okay, good. At least he's, like, not...
Look, he's doing chemotherapy. What a loser.
You know, at least he's like acting appropriately at these things.
Yeah, but do you think that he should play games like that? Because you're automatically going to think he's going to take the piss, aren't you?
Well, he obviously didn't. It depends on the YouTuber.
Maybe there's more to PewDiePie than you realize. Maybe you need
PewDiePie.
But it's interesting to look at the like Jimmy's Madeline's library and just see, like, I mean, the next game that I'm going to talk about was completely because a YouTuber that he liked played it. Like, Jimmy had no intention. Like, he played. I'll talk about the next game that I'm gonna. I'll just talk.
Well, can I just? I was just gonna say though. Last time I went round to Feng Chui's house, little Tommy, who is only about six, 7 years old, I was talking to Sean and I said, oh yeah, there's a new game out on Steam that everyone's going mad about called The Culling. You know, The Culling?
Yeah.
The game like the sort of battle royale, kill each other and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
And little Tommy, who's six, said, oh yeah, yeah, I've seen that on such and such a channel. Right, and then Sean went, should he be watching that? I'm like, probably not, because you have to like kill each other and stuff and make weapons and, you know, bash each other's heads in and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. And I'm like, you know what? Need to watch what the kids are watching, you know what I mean, on these YouTube channels, because they watch all sorts of
it's
stuff.
It's too late for Jimmy and Madeline there. Like, you know,
it's too late.
I've watched some of the clips that they've watched, you know, this Fanhouse Gaming guy, and I'm not saying he's not funny, you know what I mean? Like, I watch it and I go, I get why they watch it, you know what I mean? They're sort of funny things they do, but they swear constantly, you know what I mean?
The kids love all this stuff, yeah, I mean, you know.
But I remember when I was in year one and two of primary school, I knew all the swear words.
Well, of course.
You know what I mean? I knew them.
I bet there was worse ones than that.
Yeah.
And
fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. You know, so I've always remembered, even at the time when I was at primary school, I remembered that I knew all these swear words and I didn't say them, at, you know, back home. And I just...
Of course not.
I just knew that this is how most kids are. Most kids know all these words.
Yeah.
You know, so like... That doesn't really bother me. Like, obviously, like Jimmy and Madeline are just not maniacs or anything like that. That's what more. It's like an attitude thing for me. Like, you know, they got the right attitude for things. So whatever. Like, but it's just interesting to see Jimmy's library of games, and he makes decisions on what the people that he likes plays. So it works.
You see, but this. I mean, I'm watching this now. I mean, you know, obviously it is kind of violent, I guess, because you're shooting people, but it's not gratuitous or anything. This would be kind of
and, you know, people. Yeah. Like,
this kind of a cool first-person shooter for kids, isn't it? You know what I mean?
This game's totally fine, but the next game is totally fine. So the next game that I played, I saw this game on his library, and I said, "Where the hell did you hear about this game?" And he says, "Oh, so and so was playing this." And I was like, "Right." I said, "Do you like this game?" And he said, "I played it for an hour and I got bored." And I was like, okay, so it works, doesn't it? Like, these YouTubers play these games and they buy them, and it doesn't really matter if they like them, they just, well, there you go. But
don't keep me waiting.
The game is Polybridge. Do we know what Polybridge is?
I've never heard of
this. So I've heard of this, and the only reason I've heard of this is because I constantly look at Reddit, like, every day. Like, it's an addiction. I'm addicted to it.
Only once a day?
Addicted to Reddit.
Sorry?
You said only once a day?
No, every day. Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
I look at Reddit all the time on my phone, like,
if
constantly.
Well, you look at it once an hour.
Yeah, that's about right. So, yeah, I love Reddit, and there's these GIFs that came about from Polybridge. Now, Polybridge is a bridge building game, a very, very simple bridge building game, right? You know the genre, I'm sure, where you have a gap and you have to build a bridge and you build that bridge.
Yeah, and then you have to drive a truck over it or whatever.
And you simulate a weight goes across, and the way you pass the level is the weight survives. And for some reason, Polybridge resonated with a lot of people because I don't think it really mattered. Because it was cars, you have to get a car over the bridge. It doesn't really matter how the car gets over. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't have to get over gracefully at all.
As long as he gets to the other side.
Just as long as he gets to the other side. And there was, you know, there's loads of GIFs of just these cars doing amazing. And people were coming up with these amazing bridges where, like, it would just go over in the most ridiculous way. And you have a budget in Polybridge, so you have to keep within the budget to make sure that you don't, you know, like that you make.
Yeah, so you can only build with so many pieces
of
stuff.
You can build over budget, but it will basically penalise you for it. It won't give you as good a score as you do it. So you can just sort of build to your heart's content with Polybridge. But yeah, I was playing this, and I don't think Jimmy was too sort of keen on playing it. And I was like, I want to try it. And we had a right left playing it because I suppose we just had. Because he, you know, we was talking to each other and trying different things, and I think Jimmy played it and just gave up because it is quite difficult. And if you're a kid,
fun if you have other people around.
So
you've got to have some sort of not engineering nouns, but some idea of how weight bearing works.
Triangles are your friend.
Yeah.
I've got this. This sounds weird, right? But I really like bridges, right?
You are weird.
I know. Every time I see a cool bridge, I go, "That's a cool bridge." I appreciate bridges.
I can find that 30 Rock quote. Go ahead.
Everything relates to a quote you can find, doesn't it?
It is, yes. If it's not Simpsons, it's 30 Rock. If it's not 30 Rock, it's something else.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I've always sort of been like interested in like the structure of bridges. I don't really understand the mechanics of them, but I've always thought they were pretty cool. And I remember playing a bridge building game before, and just failing really, really badly on it. But this one's really good. It's cute. The graphics are basic because it's all. You can see the polygons and stuff, hence the name Polybridge.
Sorry, I found it. So this is a 10-second clip I need to play from 30 Rock where the Woggles sing a song about feelings. And the last line I'm going to play is it's right out of Chinny's life.
Feelings, feelings, feelings say how you feel. Apples, you taste good. Trees, you give us wood. Grandma.
I am gay.
Bridge.
You turn me on in a sexual way.
Hey, look at that.
There you go. Perfect.
Bridges turn you on in a sexual way.
It's true. It is true.
It's true.
This is a new sound clip.
So let me ask you, Ginny, if you were like driving over a large, say like quite a large bridge, would you get out and rub yourself against it?
No.
You like that large bridge?
You like that? Do you like that bridge?
Yeah. I just like
you
a bridge.
Naughty.
Leave me the fuck alone.
You're a freak.
You're a freak.
It's hardly like, you know, running to a park and showing your genitals to anyone, is it? It's just like, I like a bridge. It's just a cool bridge.
Just get out of your car and rub your genitals on the bridge.
I haven't done that for years. Can we move on? Polybridge. It's a pretty good game. I don't know how much it is because it was on Jimmy's account that I was playing it, but I think I might purchase it when I get the office sorted. You know what I was thinking about doing when I get the office sorted, by the way? Was having a month on only playing Steam games to catch up.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like,
mind you, have you...
Can't play anything else, just Steam games.
So have you got sort of a gaming PC now, then? Have you sorted that?
I buy a graphics card, which is worth £160.
Okay. Ooh, what are you going for? What
I don't
are you looking
know. Let me check, because he sent it to me on Facebook.
That sounds like if it's an NVIDIA, it sounds like a 960, maybe.
I'm already falling
asleep. I think it's a 928.
I think it's a 968 4S6.
Ah, yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Bridge. Turn me on in a sexual way.
Okay, hold on. I will check the link.
Check the link, man.
I fucking hate this talk. Right. It's a gigabyte GTX 960 OC. 4 gigabytes GDDR5 dual link DVI text display.
Oh, yeah.
E-graphic.
Yeah, it's all right, that. It's not a bad card. Yeah. You'll be all right with that.
And this guy said, if you have that with the... I sent him my specs on my PC. And he says, you could have a faster processor, but to be honest, like, for how much it would cost and how much improvement you would see...
It wouldn't matter.
If I bought this thing, he says, you would probably be able to play most things at a decent...
Yeah, you will. With a 960, you'll probably be... It's a 4 gigabyte one, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that'd be fine. You'll be able to play probably most games on medium to high settings.
Yeah, and I'm not really looking to play, like you know, The Division on my PC. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just to keep it going for a bit. Mm.
Oh, my God, you really will be joining the PC.
I know. I kind of have to do it kicking and screaming, but when I hear Xbox and PlayStation start saying, oh, we're going to, you know, sell a different Xbox with a slightly better ground, I'm like, well, fuck you then.
Are we gonna sell a PS4.5?
Yeah, if you're gonna fiddle with graphics cards, you might as well get a PC.
Exactly. You're all sorted now.
I've already got one.
One of us.
You're one of us. You've joined the team.
I'm not even gonna put this graphics card in, by the way. I'm just gonna give it to the guy that like they work in the same building.
Oh, for God's sake! It takes about.
I don't care. Don't care. I'm just gonna give it to them and go. You do it. I don't care. Shut the fuck up.
I don't blame you. You know what? Screw everybody else and do what you think is right. Do what you feel comfortable doing.
So I've been decorating all week, right? And
it'll take him 10 minutes.
That's it. If I can do it, you can do it.
I've been decorating all week, and the more I decorate, the more I go, you know what? Fuck this. Like, I'm just going to find someone to do this shit.
I don't blame you, because I hate that shit. I'm like, get someone in to do it. Diane's like, I'm going to do the exhaust fan in the bathroom. I'm like, you go ahead and do it. I'm not messing with that.
Do you know, it's interesting, though, because Amar on Twitter this week said he got game fatigue.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, got game fatigue. But I do think, and I say this sincerely, I do think by having a console and the PC helps with that, in a way, because you've got... Well, that helps as well, but also you've got a bit more variety. You know, you're not just stuck with...
I just feel like I've had gaming fatigue, and I don't know. I feel like just putting it down, watching some movies, doing something different for a couple of weeks helps.
Yeah, I do that anyway. I try and break it up. You know, I don't constantly game. I do other stuff in between that. And I think that helps anyway by having a bit of variety of other stuff. But yeah, no, I do think it makes it different because obviously with a PC, there are different experiences out there.
Gaming,
you know,
though, isn't it?
It is, but you can have more just almost like, you know, more of an experience than the game. There's lots of different choices.
It's an experience.
There is more choices to be had. So, I don't know. Anyway, I'm guessing that's it for you games-wise, is it?
That is it for me.
That is it for you. I'll do mine because I've played some interesting stuff this week, I have to say.
Oh, interesting. I'll be the judge.
Interesting. I'll go ahead. Because, yeah, the Final Fantasy 15 demo released this week.
Oh, is that on Steam?
No, it's only on console only. It's on Xbox or PS4, I believe.
Yeah.
But I don't think that. I think there's a PC version coming, but it's not been finished yet.
Well, do you have a demo for Chroma Gun?
I don't. I can't say as I do. But here's the thing, right? I haven't heard a lot about this game. You know, I've seen the CG trailers and stuff that they released and all that sort of stuff. It wasn't like even blipping on my radar.
Yeah.
And obviously, last time with Final Fantasy 13, I got burnt big time and played 20 hours or 18 hours or whatever the hell it was of a game that I really didn't like very much at all. And was like, I'm never probably going to ever play a Final Fantasy game ever again. But I played this demo and I'm like kind of interested, if I'm being honest.
Have I got the right game on the screen here, Stu?
I don't know. Yes, you definitely have. That is the game.
This looks like a fucking 360 game.
It feels like a tech demo.
The graphics are not that impressive.
When you see it sort of in motion, actually, they do look kind of cool. Some of the stuff does look cool.
Nope.
The problem with the game is the animation is a bit janky. I feel like every kind of Japanese game has some really weird janky animation going on.
So why is he 2 inches tall?
Right, okay. It's kind of like a tech demo. It's a bit weird. You start off in like a normal landscape and there are buttons. As you can see, there's buttons on the floor everywhere. Well, these are in every level you go in and the buttons change the environment in some way or another. So if you're outside, for instance, the buttons might change the weather from sunny to raining or from night to day or what else happens? It speeds time up. So time will speed up. And in this level, you can, like, change into a truck and stuff. And you have to collect, like, the little glowy star things, and then they enable you to unlock more of these buttons to press. It's a very odd experience, but...
You don't say.
I kind of liked it. And it doesn't have any sort of turn-based combat, as far as I can see. The combat is all in real time. Which is obviously a bit of a departure from a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you can use spells and you can use, obviously, you can pick up different weapons. Like in this, you had a squeaky hammer as a weapon and a toy sword.
I'm sorry,
can we
stop, right?
What squeaky hammer?
The fuck is this game going on about?
So the squeaky hammer was like the heavy weapon, which obviously took a bit longer to
is
swing,
that like
but
squeaky
did more
cheese?
Damage. Yeah. And obviously the toy sword was quicker, but did less damage
Jesus
per hit.
Christ.
There he is. Just got the squeaky hammer out just then, if you noticed that on the stream. I don't know. I kind of liked it. And the demo finishes. It takes about 40 minutes to play the demo, and then it finishes with a boss fight. And it gives you, like, grown-up character, so you can obviously see what it's like to play, and obviously some decent weapons, decent spells, all that kind of stuff, so you can finally see what the full game would be like to play.
God.
But for something I was not in the least bit interested in, I hadn't really heard hardly anything about, I am kind of interested in it now. You know, I think it could be quite fun to play.
I felt bad for talking about a bridge-building game for so long.
I don't know. I think this could be good.
You know that Stu will never feel bad about anything he does.
No, I never feel bad about anything. But yeah, I think this could be good. The next thing I played was, I decided, right, I haven't played what I'd term as a WAS game for a long time.
No, you've been a bit WAS-free at the moment.
I have been WAS-free, and I was hankering for something WAS, and boy, oh boy, I played a little bit of this previously, but boy, oh boy, did I hit the jackpot.
Oh, I know what this is.
Oh,
I've got this game, by the way.
Oh my fucking God, this is like, it's like Swery was on some sort of acid trip.
What is it?
And then made a game. It's D4, Dark Dreams Don't Die. What? Okay, so this is by Swery, who obviously made Deadly Premonition.
Oi, stop.
This originally came out on the Xbox 360, I think it was,
yeah,
originally.
I think so, yeah.
It came out, and then obviously it was ported to PC. And frig me, if this game isn't crazy, and I don't even know what to compare it to.
6 buckets of monkey testicles.
It is. It's just weird, but very cool at the same time. I don't even know how to begin to describe it. I mean, for instance, you're on this aeroplane and the woman starts having a tantrum like a child.
Sounds awesome. She cried and spitting?
Yeah, kind of, stomping her feet and sort of, you know, making completely crazy remarks. I mean, in the clip here, I thought I'd put a nice crazy clip on. He's playing baseball with a mannequin's leg.
Yeah, and he just hit the guy in the face and popped his eye out of his head.
Correct. Yes, that's how it works. But the guy has a glass eye, to be fair, so it's not his real eye. Yeah, he had a glass eyeball. But I am totally hooked on this game.
Really?
Yeah,
I have this game, Stu. I could play this.
It's crazy.
Do you think
the
I would
story
like this?
I don't. I doubt you would like this game. I really do.
Are there any bridges in it?
There are no bridges, but there is interesting dialogue. There is. I had it on, right?
Is there any bread and butter in it?
There is food. There's obviously, you know, in-flight food.
Somebody's
to be
in
had.
The chat called bread and butter.
There you go. But yeah, Kay came home whilst I was playing this game, and there's a character,
right,
who...
Did she fall for a divorce, or...?
No, but there's a character who looks like the Candyman. You know the Candyman film?
Yes.
Candyman film. It looks like him, but he's got, like, a medical mask on.
Okay.
And he talks in, like, this voice where he goes, "I haven't seen you." They're like, you know, like this really slow, droning
voice. Sounds like
voice
acting for...
No. I mean, the voice acting, actually, on the whole, is really good. And he's really good. He's just obviously playing this weird character that's where he decided would talk really slowly all the time. But Kay's like, "What are you playing?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's a murder mystery game." And she's like, "Why is that, man? That's horrible. I can't listen to that. That is horrible to listen to." And I'm like, "Well, it's kind of how it is, but it looks great." And it's, do you know, obviously the game Fahrenheit,
yeah,
or whatever it was called, you know, the quick time event sort of control scheme in that?
Like the Simon Says thing.
Yeah. That's basically this,
right?
That's basically what this uses. Not kind of in that, but it obviously some sort of moves, you have to push both thumbsticks up and then press right and left trigger at the same time. This is the guy that's on now who looks like the Candyman.
The black guy.
Yeah, the black guy with the medical mask on.
Right.
But, oh my God, it's just the weirdest game. But it's almost like a point-and-click adventure game in some respects, because you don't directly control the movement of the character. So you can sort of move wherever there's footstep logo, like, or you know, sign in the game. You can move to that, and then you can look around in the area that you have. Then you have, like, a vision thing that'll, like, show things you can interact with, but you have a limited amount of those, so you have to keep replenishing it or buy more from the shop. And the shop is a cat with a pink bow. that's in the level somewhere each time you start a new part of the game.
Okay.
It's batshit crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on levels of craziness I've never encountered in a game before, because, you know, Deadly Premonition was weird in places, well, pretty much all the way through, but I don't think it ever got to the levels of this game. I feel like he was just given free rein and they went, look, just, you know, just do whatever you want. And that's
your weirdness works. Just do whatever. Yeah.
And that's basically what he did. And it does work. I love it. I'm loving it. I can't believe how much I love this game and I want to play it. I'm going to finish it hopefully this week at some point.
Oh my God.
It's great. It's just great. But it's got a weird serious tone, even though it's completely crazy. Because obviously, his girlfriend's like an ex-detective who opened his own private detective firm, and then his girlfriend's been killed, and you've got to try and figure out who killed her and why. So he has got this really cool central murder mystery thing going on.
Yeah, I like a noir setting.
Yeah, yeah. Wrapped up in this totally crazy characters, scenarios, and there's even like a tequila drinking mini game sort of quick time event.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? I mean, there is nothing that this game does not have. I mean, there's a character in it that's a woman dressed as a cat who just meows all the time, doesn't actually say any dialogue, just meows at you and stuff and steals stuff that you want. But it just works in a very odd and very strange and weird way. I don't know what to say. Oh, yeah. So, yes, I've been playing that. Played some Dead Effect, which Duke didn't like at all.
So what is Dead Effect?
Dead Effect is just like, it's kind of a Doom stroke Quake.
That sucks.
I have to disagree. I quite like it.
It's weak.
I quite like it. It's, you know, it works on a very basic level of shooting.
Sorry, did you play this ages ago, or is this?
Yeah, it's quite a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
But it works on a basic level of shooting zombie aliens in the face, pretty much. And it's kind of frantic. There's a lot of these things come after you at once.
Yep.
Is this a multiplayer game? Or?
No, it's just single player only, as far as I'm aware. But it basically is what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of just a first person, shoot everything that moves, you know, no real story so much.
Yeah. But I feel like Killing Floor does the same thing much, much better.
Yeah, you see, I've never played that, so I can't compare it, I suppose.
It's good, because you haven't played a real game.
Well, this is cheap anyway. It's not an expensive game.
It's cheap and horrible.
It's not horrible.
I'm just kidding. I just didn't...
The mechanics actually work fine, you know what I mean? It does look a bit basic,
it's sluggish
but
and crummy.
It is a little bit, but I think that's done on purpose to make it obviously a bit more difficult.
Yeah, well, I didn't get into Dead Space very well. It's not my thing. But I recognize that the game mechanics in that are very polished and well done. This feels like a crappy attempt to do the same thing.
It is. I mean, it's just a basic sort of indie first-person shooter where someone's tried to, you know, make a half-decent game. And I think it actually works on a few levels, but it's not going to be, you know, the best game ever, obviously. But it does what it does, and it does it okay, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's all right. I think it's funny enough. It's funny enough. But the final thing I played this week was Michonne, Episode 2, The Walking Dead. Michonne.
Yeah.
And...
the hell's that?
I have no idea. I thought that was you doing the sound effect. That's why I stopped.
Nope. That's Chinny activating his CB radio. Breaker.
It is.
Breaker. This is Chinny.
Hey, Chinny 985 here.
Could you hear that?
Yes,
we could, whatever the hell it is.
CB radio.
No, I just unplugged, because I could hear the crackling thing, and I unplugged my microphone and put it back in. I don't know if that's going to...
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, so Michonne, episode 2 of the Walking Dead miniseries. One word review for this episode is short. I think is the first thing I would say. It literally, I think it took me no more than 45 minutes to complete.
That is short.
So it's like super short, and I'm not really sure about it, if I'm being really honest.
So you're on episode 2?
I am on episode... Well, I finished episode 2. It took me 40 minutes, okay. 45 minutes.
And there's 3, is there?
There's 3 episodes altogether.
Weird. It's almost like, why are they bothered? Like, why did they even bother?
Well, it's not so much even why they bothered, but it doesn't feel like a story. It just feels, like I said before, like you've just got a little excerpt from a bigger thing. But it doesn't kind of work in isolation on its own. It's just like a situation to a situation with no real... I don't know, it's not even filling in the backstory very well. I thought that we're getting some backstory stuff for Miss Sean, but not as much as I'd have liked, you know what I mean? I mean, because she's a cool character. And to be honest, she's the only good thing about the game to a point, because the other like characters aren't really that fleshed out or that great, and the dialogue isn't brilliant, and the stuff that they're making you do. I mean, there's for instance, you're given obviously the, you know, the do or didn't you choices like they do in all Telltale games. But one particular choice you're given, you know, do you want to dispatch somebody or do you want to let them live? Kind of decision. But it then, the character does a load of stuff that sways you in one direction and almost makes it okay to do what you do.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of think, well, you know, it'll probably be fine once I play the final episode, but there's nothing about this game that I'm going, wow, I can't wait till the next one comes out. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas most Telltale games, you're always like left on a cliffhanger, like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? You know, what's going to happen? And these sort of games, you know, for Telltale, live or die on story, don't they? Really?
They're all about it. That's the only thing they are.
Yeah, they're all about the story. And I just don't think this is their best effort. And I think the fact that they're still using the same old engine does not help at all.
No, apparently the next Walking Dead is going to be a new engine, right? Or something.
Well, I don't know, but I hope they do, because this is... You know, it still works. It does what it is serviceable, but it's starting to creak a bit. And it's, and I think the problem is all these kind of Telltale games are starting to get a bit samey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. I think, you know, they struck on a great formula with the original Walking Dead and the few games that followed that, you know, and, you know, Game of Thrones and Borderlands and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do
next. Even
in
this video that I'm playing for the stream, you can see that each camera cut, like... You know, stutters. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can even see it here.
Yeah. You know, and this is episode one. I didn't put episode two up because I thought, you know, I don't want to give any spoilers and all that sort
Everybody
of stuff.
Everybody does.
I know, yeah. Everybody, well, that's pretty much The Walking Dead anyway. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not overly impressed, if I'm being honest. It's like, okay. Yeah. Knowledge and the talent that my mother had born. The heart
equals an artist, I won't be born. What is that, Dre? It's the formula.
Yeah. And that's kind of what they're doing now, isn't it? This is the Telltale formula.
Yep.
You know, and when it first started and they did these sorts of games, you know, like The Wolf Among Us and all that stuff, it was cool. But I don't know, I think I'm getting Telltale fatigue. I don't know about gaming fatigue, but I'm getting Telltale fatigue.
You almost want them to, like,
do something different.
Take more time and make less.
Not even that, but maybe even just do a different style of game, you know, or not even necessarily a different style, but a different presentation of the same format. You know what I mean? Something that feels like it's been updated.
But like their turnaround time is so quick for these games. Like, you almost want them just like just work on a game for 2 years.
Yeah,
you've got the cash. Yeah. Like, just sit on something for a bit instead of rushing everything out.
You know, they're almost becoming like. I don't know what the comparison is, but like they're almost like a game making factory, aren't they? You know, they get a franchise.
It's almost like they have a set of ingredients, and they're you know, like a formula or something.
Yeah, and that we'll have a pinch of this and a pinch of that, or we'll get some like cool IP,
formula or something,
Batman or The Walking Dead or whatever,
like a formula.
And then we'll. And a formula, and then they'll tie that into it, and that's you know, churn it all together and chuck it out. Job done.
Boom. Save. Print.
Save thing. Control V. Control C. Control whatever. Job done. I don't know.
Import license.
You know, I'm still going to reserve judgment till the final episode, but I can't see it blowing me away. Whatever happens,
no.
I think it's just going to be okay.
It's like,
really. It's all right. So, Drew, what else have you played this week?
Well, first of all, I need to talk about two things that are – well, one thing that's not really – okay. There's this game Starbound, which is Terraria plus different planets. There's apparently a new big update coming soon, but it's not coming. They just posted something on their change log about it, and they're basically coming to version 1.0. It's been in early access for like 2 years, and now they're coming to like actual release date. So first of all, that's monumental because that never happens, of course. But the release isn't for 2 months.
And I was, oh, no.
Damn it, why are you releasing all this information now if it's not coming for another 2 months? But
to get you excited.
Yes, but I'm not going to be excited for 2 months. I was excited today, and then I installed it, and then I saw 2 months from now, and I was like, ah, damn it, uninstall.
But I guess story your life,
that one, I should keep it so that when it does install, it could be like, hey, it installed automatically. But whatever. Anyway, I thought Starbound has a lot of promise, and I'm curious to see what they're going to do now because apparently it's using, you know, quests, and they've made a lot of changes to the game, so I'm keen to see how it is. Yeah.
Was you a fan of Terraria, Duke?
No, I couldn't get into it. It felt like the blocks were too small.
It was too fiddly, man.
Yeah, fiddly. So I never really got into Terraria the way a lot of other people did. But
too late.
I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe, you know, because I didn't get into Minecraft right away. So maybe if I kept with Terraria, I would have gotten into it. But anyway, Starbound is really, you know, the UI is good and the blocks are nice and big. So I'll be going back to that and giving it more try. I had mentioned once upon a time that I tried the controller with Black Ops, and Stu was like, no, you got to use mouse and keyboard. It's much more precise. But you know what? Fuck a lot of that. I played more games with the controller on Black Ops, and like I'm back. Because here's what I realized. I've spent like 3 years, longer than that probably like 5 years, honing my skills in Black Ops using a controller. And so in the last year, when I moved over to the PC, I suck with a mouse and keyboard. And the problem's not me. The problem's the mouse and keyboard. So screw you, mouse and keyboard. I'm playing Black Ops 3 with a controller, and I'm doing a lot better. As soon as I put the controller in, suddenly I went from having rounds where I was usually like 5 kills and 10 deaths to rounds where I'm mostly going even.
Well, it's weird you should say that, you know. It's weird you should say that because when I was playing The Division the other day, obviously I played I very rarely play with mouse and keyboard on anything now. And obviously my mate is playing with a mouse and keyboard in the Division. I'm obviously using a controller. And when I told him, I'm like, oh, no, I'll just use a controller. He was quite impressed. He didn't realize that I was using a controller because obviously I was quite precise. But you're right. It's that years of playing with a controller, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying is I need to remember that what other people say is the right way for me to do a thing is not necessarily the right way. So I'm using the controller and I'm loving it. So suck it, everybody who says
I should play. Why the hell did you get a controller in the first place? It's because of what I said.
And I said.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe I should listen to other people once in a while. Maybe I shouldn't.
Because we both told you to get one for Rocket League.
Yeah, well, it's helpful. I have been playing some Rocket League, which I've been playing this season especially because when, you know, friends aren't around, playing online is hit or miss, right? You're going to have some good people on your team. You're going to have some idiots on your team. But I started a season up, and I don't know. It's fun to play with the same AI bots. And I can't tell if they have personalities or not, but I think they probably do. So I got the Jester and the Wizard on my team because they have special hats, and everyone else doesn't have hats.
Special hats.
And I wanted people on my team with hats, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that you're calling the AI cars people now is worrying in itself.
They're good people, man. Don't make fun of my people. Anyway, so yeah, that's been fun. And playing a little bit of The Division. I played some more Stardew Valley too. So Stardew Valley, it was so disappointing because I told you I needed 3 apples to get done.
That's right. You needed 3 apples.
Yeah, I got my 3 apples. I repaired the community center. And then it was like, the aliens who are helping you out, it's like, we're going away now. Goodbye. And it was like, okay, they're gone.
And is that it?
And that was it. And I was like, what the hell? I thought there was going to be some kind of cutscene or something when I fixed the community center. Or maybe the mayor would come up to me and be like, hey, here's some stuff or nothing. I you know, in the mail, I got some recipes from people in town. And it was like, okay.
Yeah, you see, it definitely isn't like Animal Crossing. Because if that was Animal Crossing, you'd have finished building a community center and then it would have gone, oh, you need to borrow another loan to extend the community center to make it bigger for everybody.
Well, that's what happens with your house. And now, so far as I can tell, the only other real objective in the game is to have a child, which I will at some point. Oh, and the other thing I know is that at some point you'll get like a score, because after you play for a certain amount of time, apparently like the ghost of your grandfather shows up and says, you've done well, and here's like a breakdown of goals that you've met or something. I don't really know how it works. And apparently the score doesn't really mean anything. It's just like, you know, relative.
For your information.
For your information. You've done this out of all these things you could do. So, I don't know. Whatever. Like, Stardew Valley has definitely lost a lot of its...
Yeah, but to be fair, you have put a serious amount of hours in on this game, haven't you?
And it's been beautiful, and I probably will play it again at some point. It's just that, yeah, you know, what people said before is true. Once you get to the late game, it loses a lot of its excitement. So,
yeah, but you've had your money's worth.
Oh, definitely have my money's worth. So it's just,
I mean, let's have a look out of interest.
You know, they've got some radiant quests so that it's like, oh, I need someone to bring me one of this fish. And it's like, okay. But look, here's the thing. When you have 150,000 gold and they're offering you 50 gold for a fish, it's like, you know what? I don't really need that, and I don't really care about your gold. So I wish that the quests were to scale so that they could say, like, bring me 30 tomatoes or whatever. That would be interesting.
Right.
Because then I would have, you know, the motivation to, like, plant a lot of those plants. But
well, I mean, you played 59 hours, which is a fair amount.
I have played a fair amount. I've definitely got my money's worth. It's a really good game. And, yeah.
That being said, it pales into insignificance against your 632 hours of Rust.
Oh, Rust. I played a little more Rust because I was looking for a PvE server, but I realized PvE servers are ridiculous in Rust because you have to go around and get blueprints so you can get better guns, but then what are you going to use the guns on? Deer? Take this deer. I'll use my C4 against this deer.
So, I mean, there's obviously in the original Rust, there was like zombies. Then they changed to burrs, yep. Didn't they? Was that right?
Yep. And there are burrs in the game, but, you know, it's not like hunting. It's not like exciting. There was a server I found one time that had like, I guess it was zombies, you know, like NPCs. And that's kind of cool. I wish Rust gave server owners some more tools for making the PvE environment better. Because I don't like murdering and I don't like raiding and stuff. So it's like, you can build, but then that's it. Once you got your house,
yeah.
It's like, okay, I got my house. Now what? Nothing.
Nothing. There's nothing happens, man. That's it. That's end of game.
Yep. And that's pretty much, I played some more Battlefield 4 because that game's awesome. And yeah, I don't, you know, in Battlefield 4, so here's the thing. In Call of Duty, if I have a bad round, it can be frustrating. But with Battlefield 4, it's like, even if I have a bad round, it's like I took two bases and I killed 7 people. I died 21 times, but I had a good time doing it. So, I don't know. Battlefield 4 is a game that I never feel really frustrated when I play it, whereas Call of Duty can end up feeling really annoying. So, And that's
Is that it for you? Is that
for me?
That's it. Yeah, I mean, interestingly, I did say last week, by the way, I should clarify. I did say last week I was going to buy a Drift this week, didn't I?
You did say that.
And I didn't.
Oh, you liar.
And I didn't. I know. And the reason I didn't is because I'm actually going to do a Duke on this because the reviews are very, very middling. I mean, it's got something like 65 or something on Metacritic.
So do it means that you're going to look very stylish and dance well?
No, I'm going to do a Duke because I'm going to wait till it goes on sale and then I'll buy it.
Oh, yeah. Why not go on Kingwin? You can get it for like 3 cents.
I'm sure you can. But yeah, it's... Apparently it looks absolutely stunning, but the gameplay itself is a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
Some people have said it obviously works really well with VR, you know what I mean? To give people that, like, wow, look at this, you know, the wow moment with VR.
Right.
But, I don't know. I haven't got VR. So I'm going to wait and get it when it's cheap, because I'm sure it'll be cheap very quickly.
So is Adrift the Gone Home people?
No, it's the guy who it's the Deal With It guy. So he came up with the concept.
He could cure cancer and he'd still be called the Deal With It guy.
I know, yeah. Yeah, he came up with the concept, I think, and then he hired a game studio to make the game.
Yeah.
And by and large...
Isn't it Gravity?
It's kind of Gravity, but the problem I've got with it, the reason that put me off the most was I was expecting the story to just play out as you were playing the game, but it's reliant again on audio logs and stuff, and I'm just like, can't be bothered searching for audio logs. If the reviewers had said, the game play mechanics are a bit weak, but the story's really good, I think I might have been more interested in it. Yeah. But they said the only thing it's got going for it is that it looks amazing.
Stylistically, it looks great.
Everybody's agreed on that. It looks slick. Yep, and everybody's agreed on that. You know, every review you read says that it looks stunning.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
But then every review you read also says that the story's a bit weak and the gameplay mechanics are quite frustrating and repetitive.
It's a shame.
Yeah. So there you go. So I'll wait till it goes cheap and then I'll purchase it.
I mean, you could see, like, you know, I'm not a big supporter of VR at all, but you can see this game, you know, like, totally working for VR.
Oh, yeah. And that's where they say it works the best, you know. But apparently, but one guy was saying when he was playing this with the Oculus Rift in VR, it was really hard for him to play because he said his mind was... You know, he said you can kind of cope with something where you're on the floor, you know, or, you know, you're on solid ground in the game. He said, but when you start playing something like this, where you're floating around and spinning about, he said it was very, very disorientated and made him feel really weird. So it's not the easiest game to play with Oculus Rift.
Mm. Sounds like it's not the easiest game to play with Oculus Rift.
Yeah, there you go. Right, on that note... we need to do some news, I guess.
I guess. I think so.
I think we should rename this section to Duke's favorite part of the show.
Turn me on in a sexual way.
Putting news first.
Yeah, there you go. So, Chinny, what is in the news this week?
I don't know. What are you looking
for? Stuff.
No, all right, okay. News and stuff. Let's have a look. See what we got. Blah, 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 blah. Worrying items in Oculus Rift terms of service.
Yes. This is quite interesting, actually.
The terms of service is interesting.
Well, it's what Oculus can kind of do with your stuff.
Anything they want. That's what all terms of service are.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
The Oculus Rift is starting to ship... which the people at Gizmodo are pretty happy with. While it's cool, like any interesting gadget, it's worth looking through some of the terms and service because there are some worrisome things included. Quite a few of the items in the document are pretty typical, any sort of terms of service agreement. These include details like waiving your right to a jury trial and agreeing to go into
arbitration. I don't even know what that's.
Well, here's
that's
what it means. Yeah, this is messed up, man. This should not be in consumer and user agreements. If you were to use the Oculus Rift, and okay, so Chinny, you know, you have seizures in some instances.
Right? Yeah, it gives him brain damage, for instance.
Right, but if it were something on the fault of the company, right? Normally, if you got hurt by this product, you could sue the company.
Sure.
But what this statement says, you're going to go into arbitration. What this means is instead of going to court, you go into, okay, the company will set up some sort of hearing for you, and you'll get to plead your case to the company's board of decision or whatever, the arbitration board, and they may or may not decide to give you compensation. It's totally up to them.
So they're covering their back, basically.
They're totally covered. They're taking away your ability to get legal compensation when you might need it. It's really messed up.
Cool.
It's not. Wait till you hear the next paragraph, though, what they can do with any user-created content.
Oculus can also terminate your service for myriad reasons. The third party can collect information on you. However, there are some even more devilish details in the Rift's terms of service. Oculus, and basically Facebook, owns creative content. If you create something with the Rift, the terms of service say that you surrender all rights to that work and that Oculus can use it whenever it wants for whatever purpose.
I don't even understand how you would make something with the Oculus Rift.
Well, it gives some examples. So, for instance, if you created something new for the platform, do you know what I mean, that no one's ever thought of before. So, for instance, if someone created some VR art is the thing that they give.
Okay.
Wouldn't that mean every game that's made for it?
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They own every game. No, that can't be right.
No, it's user content. So it's something created by a user rather than developer of a game. Because they'll have a contract with Oculus, won't they?
I don't understand.
I'm weird.
So, for instance, say someone created... So, say, like, a user. So it's not necessarily a game developer. A user just creates something that can be used with Oculus.
I don't understand how developers would... It seems completely stupid. That's like saying if you buy paints and you paint a picture with it, then the company that made the paints owns your picture.
Too right.
Yeah. Well, that's basically what it is.
The most idiotic thing in the world.
That's basically what... I mean, if you read the way it's written in the service agreement, it's crazy.
It's insane.
Just, I mean, read the paragraph, Gene. Read what they say.
Any of this. It's more evidence that VR is a bunch of humbug and nobody should be messing with it.
By submitting user content through the services, you grant Oculus a worldwide
irrevocable.
Thank you.
Perpetual.
Thank you.
I.e. lasting forever.
Thank you.
No, I'll read this. Non-exclusive, transferable, royalty-free, and fully sublicensable.
I could have read the word and, Stu.
Sublicensable. i.e. we can grant this right to others, right to use, copy, display, store, adapt, publicly perform and distribute such user content in connection with the services. You irrevocably consent to any and all acts or omissions by us or persons authorized by us that may infringe any moral right or analogous right,
analogous,
whatever that says, in your user content.
Boring.
So stupid.
So they can basically do whatever the hell they like with anything you've created.
Pretty much.
It's oh my
insane.
God!
Are they done? Put a link in the chat saying Matt, I don't know if it's legit or a hoax. Man nearly dies from VR porn.
It's probably true.
It's probably true.
But it does get worse because the terms of service of what you know how they can use data they collect while you're using the device is even worse. So basically, it says information about your interactions with our services, like information about the games, content, apps, or other experiences you interact with, and information collected in or through cookies, local storage, pixels, and similar technologies. Additional information about these is available here. Information about how you access our services, including information about the type of device you're using, such as headset, PC, or mobile device, your browser or operating system, your internet protocol address, and certain device identifiers that may be unique to your device. So they can access information about the games, content.
We also get to sleep with your wife three times a week.
I know, yeah. Location information, which can be derived from information such as your device's IP address. If you're using a mobile device, we may collect information about the device's precise location, which is derived from the sources such as the device's GPS signal and information about nearby Wi-Fi networks and cell towers.
Jeez.
And also information about your physical movements and dimensions when you use the VR headset. I mean, they're just literally got to be tracking where you are when you use it all the time. What is that all about?
That's insane. I mean, you know, that's what people do with the. I guess location services is similar with an iPhone or whatever, but.
It is, but this. It's effectively a TV on your head. Do you understand what I mean? It's not a mobile device. It's not a phone.
I understand.
There's no need for them to know where your VR headset is at all times.
Hey,
is
there's
there?
No need for goddamn Facebook to track everywhere you go with your cell phone either. So I agree with you that it's absurd for this VR headset to be collecting this data, but it's been absurd I don't understand why we're getting self-righteous now.
I guess, but it is kind of like, I don't know. It's like Big Brother is literally watching all the time. It's watching what you're watching.
Fine. Yes. I don't do anything anyway.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, what else do you do?
Like, that's so important.
I don't do anything that's important.
Exactly. What do you care?
What do people think they're worth something?
Duke, get over it.
Like, well, I want privacy unless I have something to hide, in which case, oh, it doesn't matter if I have privacy anyway. We deserve privacy whether we're up to something.
Nah.
And if privacy, you give up your privacy, you're infecting my privacy.
I could literally
make someone fall into a coma if they watch my life.
All right, Truman, what else is in the news?
I don't know, like other things. Nintendo fires marketeer after online hate campaign. Let's read this. So it's fun.
Oh, yeah, this will get you angry.
Okay, Nintendo marketing employee Allison Rapp. Nice.
Yeah.
The target of a persistent online hate campaign has been dismissed from the company. Rapp revealed she had been fired via her Twitter account late last night. These are the tweets. So Allison Rapp tweeted, "As many of you know, the last couple of months have been quite a whirlwind of controversy and GG harassment. Sorry. And then she also tweeted, "Today the decision is made. I am no longer a good, safe representative of Nintendo. My employment has been terminated." In a statement posted online after Rapp's dismissal began to trend on Twitter, Nintendo said the decision was made after it became aware Rapp had a second job. For months now, Rapp has been the target of a sustained attack via social media, and Nintendo has been bombarded with messages saying it should distance itself from her. Rapp has acted as a spokesperson for Nintendo, had presented live streams featuring the company's games and a high-profile female voice on Twitter. She has also become a recognizable face for Nintendo's Treehouse division, the company's U.S. localized department, during a time that some of its decisions were being criticized as, quote, censorship by certain corners of the internet. So is there any more else you want to go on this?
Not really. I think that gives a pretty much the gist of it, really.
I'm looking... This sucks.
So is this part of the Gamergate stuff?
Yeah, that's what GG stands for. That's what the internet trolls are doing.
So she became attacked.
So why? She said, okay, so apparently, the next paragraph talks about there's a scene in a 3DS role player where a gay character is drugged to fall in love with a straight protagonist, and a mini game in the same title where you can pet characters' faces. The examples follow the remover of a slider used to set the size of your character's breasts in Wii U role-playing game Xenoblade Chronicles X. So basically, she's saying, hey, some of this stuff is kind of messed up in these games. Maybe we shouldn't have it in Nintendo games. And so Nintendo agreed, and they took them out, and then Gamergate dorks are like, this girl's not cool. We want her out. And they won.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is that she had nothing to do with those decisions. It wasn't anything to do with her.
Ugh.
So it didn't even... She didn't have any say on it.
And so that's
the problem.
They hate women. Let's be honest. Gamergate is about hating women and bashing anybody who tries to raise any points that are at all feminist. And so they react with organized acidity against anybody who stands up against
what is their official goal? What is Gamergate's official goal?
Okay, so ostensibly, Gamergate says that what they're interested in is integrity in video games, especially video game journalism. Now, if they ever had any inkling of having a question about integrity, they should have immediately insisted that game companies stop giving promotional garbage to people and they stop with the goddamn Mountain Dew tie-ins and all the rest of the stupid bullshit that makes game companies able to push their stupid products down our throats when they're horrible games. But that's not actually their intent. Their intent is to preserve an outmoded, barbarian, troglodyte view of gender, which says men run everything, and if women want into video games, they need to suck an egg because they're not welcome.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to edit all that out and just put the last bit out so it makes it sound like you said it.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is, you know, I mean, she's clarified and said, look, the second job thing, funny story, moonlighting is actually accepted at Nintendo. It's policy, she wrote on Twitter. To pay off student loans, I started moonlighting under a fake name.
What the hell's moonlighting?
I mean, like when you're doing another job when you've got a full time job, so you do another job somewhere else for somebody else.
I thought it was mooning. Like, how do you get paid for that?
Yeah. But here's the thing though, right? I get that she had this second job, but if I'm being honest, it doesn't sound like she was being really above board because she used a fake name with no real identity, which she was saying to make it anonymous. But then that also sounds like she was trying to hide the fact she was doing it.
No, absolutely not. Look, if she as Allison Rapp is Nintendo's public face for this, what is the name of the organization?
Treehouse.
Okay, then if she were to do, it says something about modeling, then it's very easy for the lines to get blurred and for people to think, oh, she's doing this as part of her Nintendo job. So for me, it makes perfect sense that she would do her other job, especially if it's something to do with being out in public, using a different name just to keep the two parts of her life split up. And in fact, it seems like that would help Nintendo, because then if people go looking for like information about this person, they don't go finding her modeling stuff if they're looking for Nintendo information.
I guess
that's a good point, though. Like, if they see her in a different job, they might think it's Nintendo.
Yeah,
but wouldn't it have been better for her to go to Nintendo or whoever her boss is and say, "Look, I'm going to be doing this under a different name."
Did you know that she didn't do that?
Well, she doesn't say that she did, so I would assume had she done that, she would have said. Well, it doesn't, but she's more likely that looks better for her, though, doesn't it? If she said, "And I made them aware that I was doing it."
She shouldn't have to, though, because he said it was on Corey. It was policy.
All this is beside the point. Gamergate went looking for something to nail her on. They found something. I'm sure there's 300 other people who work at Nintendo who also have other jobs. And
I'm sure you are.
She got attacked because she's a woman in a public position who took stances that they didn't like. And so they went after her and they won. And that's disgraceful. Shame on you, Nintendo. They just didn't want to stand up for it.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong at all, and it's a shame.
Well, let's hope that somebody picks up on this and gives Allison a good job. Or maybe she bounces back, or somebody, you know, picks her up, because I don't know. She obviously did a good job.
I mean, if nothing else, like, you just don't make her the public face anymore. You reassign her or something. I mean, that would be bad too, but it wouldn't be as bad as firing her.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Dear.
Have we got a happier story?
Let's go to some good news now. I've been listening to a podcast called the Coin One.
Oh, the Same Coin.
The Same Coin, yeah. The name same. Escaped me for a second there. The Same Coin, and they've been replaying video games. They replay games, like, and you can vote for whatever game they're going to play next, and I vote for Bully, but they've been playing BioShock, and aptly, yet another board has rated BioShock the Collection, just in case you thought it wasn't happening. This was announced quite a while ago and has disappeared, but the following Taiwanese rating board, as well as the Brazilian rating board, has today awarded BioShock the Collection a content rating. According to the listing via something, the collection includes an original BioShock 2 and BioShock Infinite. It is going to come to the PC, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and was unsurprisingly awarded a mature rating. So 2K hasn't officially confirmed this yet, but this looks like it's going to happen. Are we going to play BioShock 1, 2 and Infinite again?
No, well, I've got the original BioShock and Infinite on PC, so I have no reason to get these at all, I don't suppose.
No, I don't have any interest in playing any of them again except Infinite, but I already have it, and there's no reason for me to buy it again.
For me, I would like to play 1 again, because I played it. Can you believe that BioShock 1 is 9 years old, by the way?
It's pretty...
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't played BioShock for, you know, almost 9 years, so I would like to play that game again. But also, I never played 2. We had a running joke on the show that I pretended that Bioshock 2 never existed because I thought that it shouldn't exist. But since then, when it came out, it didn't really get well received. But since then, it sort of built up this, it's not as bad as people made out sort of vibe.
It's not.
And I feel like some games, when they come out, get a battering, and then over time people realise how good they were. But it also can happen the opposite way, where people think a game was really good, but actually wasn't. So Mirror's Edge is an example of a game that people think is good, but when you actually go and play it, it's very difficult to finish in terms of just like boredom. And then a game that came out that people sort of said wasn't as good was Red Dead Redemption. I remember people, that game came out and people were like, oh, Mexico's too long, Mexico sucks, this game's fucking stupid, fuck this game. And it's the best game that's ever been made. So fuck them.
Obviously.
So I'll be keen to play Bioshock 1 because I do consider it one of the best games ever made.
The only thing I would say, right?
I would like to play 2, yeah.
When the next Steam sale comes on, you'll be able to pick up probably Bioshock 2 and 3 if you really wanted Infamous as well for probably about £7.
That's true, but I can rent it.
And you'll have a computer that'll run it fine.
I don't want to play on a bloody PC. I can rent it.
Seriously, man. The next step, Steam Link, controller, job done.
Well, I don't want to play. No, the way my office would be set up, I wouldn't need it.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I don't like to play my video games on a settee. I don't like to do that.
You don't?
No.
Wow, that's weird.
I like to sit on a chair properly, facing, you know.
Well, you'll be absolutely fine then. You can just play them on your PC.
Yeah, I don't like playing on PC either.
What difference does it make? It's the same
thing.
I like
leaning back on the chair. I don't, you know, like I'm hunched over the PC.
But you don't. You just get a controller like Duke has and plug it in. You don't have to hunch over anything then, do you? You just play the set exactly the same as your console, you idiot.
If I make this noise more, the achievements don't mean as much on Steam. There you go. Ha.
They're the exact same things.
Yeah, but like they don't mean as much.
They're the same.
No.
I don't know. What do you like?
Vetoed. Right, next.
I don't know. Yeah, we've got time for one more. One more story, and then we'll have to do some emails.
You pick it, and I'll read.
I'll pick one to talk about. I think you should talk about the Mass Effect Andromeda early footage.
Okay.
It's not a lot, but it gives at least an idea of what the game may look like.
Okie doke. Early footage of Mass Effect Andromeda has appeared online. It looks exactly the same. It's got a jetpack. The end.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, what do you think of this jetpack?
Like a jetpack. It looks like Mass Effect with a jetpack.
Yeah. I mean, there is other stuff in the trailer.
Okay, the snippets of gameplay are taken from a build of the game, which dates back to 2014.
It's quite old.
The footage popped up online as part of BioWare's artist showreel. Boo, 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 boo. Let's go down. Despite the age of the footage, it illustrates several concepts that we know will be present in upcoming sci-fi sequel, such as the open world traversal on foot, aided by a jetpack. See, I told you. There's also a shot of the jetpack. A lot of jetpack in this article. A scene showing
definitely a jetpack.
Standoff between a human and a Krogan, and a brief animation where a meteorite is shown exploding into a planet's surface. Visually, the final game, due Springs 2017, is expected to be of a far higher fidelity. Fans have pointed out how the gameplay's HUD matches
That's just bad grammar. That is just written
right,
badly.
It's not me being dumb.
No, it isn't. I think it should say matches shown off in an image of the game.
Okay, push. Right, there's no way of knowing how this has changed. Blah 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 blah. It's Mass Effect. Fucking hell. That's what the article says.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I want you to read this is less about this and more about, are you looking forward to a new Mass Effect game, I guess? Because it feels like a long time since I played one.
Look, Rockstar, Dan Houser said, the reason why GTA is so popular is because they don't make one every year. Yeah. And that answer has a lot of different things in it. They don't want to make one every year, therefore they take care and time. And also, people want it more.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that there hasn't been a Mass Effect since, was it 2013, 12?
So it's a long time. It feels like a long time ago.
You know, a whole generation has happened. Like, things have moved on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've had the whole crafting thing happen since then. So maybe there's, you know what I mean? Like, taste change, what people are into change. Like,
I think also, do you know what else I think will be make it a lot of difference? Is because, obviously, Commander Shepard was integral to Mass Effect, wasn't he? You know what I mean? Oh. And I think...
Wasn't she?
He or she. She. You know what I mean? He, she, whatever.
For the win.
But anyway, here's the thing, though. I think enough time has now passed that no one will be that bothered anymore that it isn't Commander Shepard. Because obviously there was that. Obviously, if this came out a year after the last Mass Effect, you'd be like, oh, I miss Commander Shepard. But now you're like, I'm not that bothered. You know, new characters is fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be good. I am actually really looking forward to playing a new Mass Effect game. I'll be quite excited for 2017 when this eventually hits the shelves, I guess. But I was thinking the other day, there's no... Now, for this year, as far as I'm aware, I can't really think of any RPGs that are coming out. You know, obviously, last year we had Witcher... Well, there is that, and obviously that wasn't on my radar until like yesterday.
Great.
It does look great. I might play that game. I know. But last year, obviously, we had The Witcher, and we had Fallout 4, and we had these big RPGs.
We're still playing those games. We don't need any.
I know we are, but I was like, what RPGs are coming out this year? I don't know. The Division is kind of one, I guess, but...
It's more of a MOBA.
Kind of. But yeah, we haven't got one of those.
We're like an MMO with fucking dungeon loot mechanics.
Yeah.
I suppose. It's a bit of everything.
I suppose. So yes, Mass Effect, I'm kind of getting excited for that. You never know. There might be something at EGX for Mass Effect, because it's not been that far off. You never know.
Oh, what do you think of Call of Duty being, the new Call of Duty being set way into the future?
God knows. I mean, what are they going to do? Halo? Call of Duty Halo?
What are they going for, yeah.
Yeah, Call of Duty Destiny.
They don't have any clue. They don't. I mean, what are they going
to do? I don't know what they're going to do.
It's ridiculous at this point. It's just, I just feel bad for them.
Well, you don't.
For their millions of dollars.
Yeah, I was just going to say, don't feel bad for them when they're putting millions.
I feel bad for the creative directors. I feel bad for the people who have to try to come up with something new for this game where you just run around a map and shoot each other. Like, there's no way to make that different. They've already got 20 different parts of your body that you tweak, and you have perks and talents and skills and upgrades.
Did you watch that video?
And everything.
Did you watch that video about Call of Duty then and now? Did you watch that?
No.
Basically, it shows you one of the best Call of Duty missions ever, you know, the ghillie suit, all ghillied up and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that is good.
And it shows you a few other ones, and, you know, it's really serious tone, and it's... And then it shows you... It cuts to, now, wall running, and then it shows you the different celebrations you can do, which is watch me whip, watch me nay-nay, and all the different colours you can have on your character.
Yeah.
By the way, Titanfall 2's got something like a 30% bigger team working on it
good.
This time.
But
are you bothered about that? Are you going, wow, can't wait for that?
I don't get massively bothered about those types of games anymore.
No, I don't. I'm not at all.
If it's a first-person shooter, if it's military... you know what? I'd be more interested if it was just modern military.
Yeah.
If it was just a modern military game.
I just keep thinking the 10th of May can't come soon enough for me this year.
Go on.
For two reasons. One, it's my birthday. It's my birthday.
No one cares about that. Go on.
And secondly, Uncharted 4 comes out on that day.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's a happy birthday for me on that day.
That is a good birthday.
Happy birthday.
It is, isn't it? Uncharted 4 to play on my birthday.
I celebrate my birthdays on the same day that World War 2 started.
Wow.
So it's not all bad, is it?
No, but they're totally different things.
At least I'm not one of those 9/11 crowds, you know what I mean?
Absolutely not, no. Right, let's do some emails anyway. Time for some emails. Let's do that.
That ruled.
Hardly Dan in the chat said, why don't we put everybody on Segways? That would change things up a bit. On Call of Duty.
It definitely would. Right, I've got to start by saying Mr. Steve has sent what can only be described as the biggest email I think he's ever sent.
Okay.
So I need to forward this to Duke. I should have done this earlier, but I'll do it now. It'll only take a second. Because he's actually, as always, inserted some sound bites.
God damn.
I know. And you've got
time.
Now he wants us to play sound bites at certain parts of his email.
Forget it.
But here's the interesting thing. He's sent a picture of himself with this one.
Okay.
So we can actually put a face to the name, which is always interesting, I think. You know, bit odd, but interesting. So here we go. Are you ready for this? Right, I need to take a deep breath and I'll try and read it as quickly as I can. So he says this. This email was very hard for me and Duke will be mad. Two sound bites and I bash dragon cancer.
Dude.
Oh, dear. All right, okay. Whoa. Let's see what he says first before you go judging. Let's see what he says.
That's a pretty provocative statement.
Oh, for definite. And I'm sure he's trying to get a rise out of you.
I'm sure he is.
That's what he's doing. Greetings.
Greetings.
Hello.
Last week, I was very disappointed you missed out on a great opportunity. Anyone can eat an egg, but you should have done that whilst playing the guitar. I've included two soundbites this week. It will enhance the email and make Duke work. Double win.
Yeah, because more work to do. Thanks.
Play first soundbite here. Show interest in the arts. No. Okay. Well, there you go. Intro to his next bit. Musical review, Hamilton. I've heard tons of good reviews. You're an Amazon Prime member. You can listen to it for free. Also, Amazon has a new thing where you can download the Prime songs now, which I absolutely love because it saves on my data. Hamilton is a great musical. It is very modern with amazing history lessons and beats and hooks. It's about 2.5 hours long but goes by fast. I would highly recommend this to everyone, especially to Stu, who can learn a very important life lesson. Talk less, smile more. I'm just kidding. Just a few jabs about that iTunes review. So what is this, Hamilton? Do you know what this is?
Yes, it's a musical using hip-hop music to tell the story of Alexander Hamilton, who was Secretary of the Treasury at a certain point. And I don't know if he became president, but he died in a duel with Aaron Burr.
And is it good? Do you know if it's good?
I haven't seen it. I haven't heard it. I've heard good things about it. I don't really know anything firsthand. I have students who are gaga over it. So.
Oh, well, we might have to give it a whirl then. Anyway, he says this anyway. Shocking news. I will not be getting a PS4.5. It doesn't seem to be worth it. It won't be true 4K, just a fake. All they're going to do is upscale the graphics. I don't even have a 4K TV, and I'm not sure if any effect on the VR headset. I'm hoping that the VR will work with PC. No, let's just clarify this. PlayStation VR will not work with PC.
Yeah, come on. Get it together.
Let's be very clear about this. PlayStation VR will work with PlayStation Vive, as we now know it's pronounced, and Oculus will work with PC.
Vive.
So there you go. Might be possibility just saying, hope Santa reads my letter. No, it's not going to happen. Listen to what we're saying. This is my opinion on Dragon Cancer. Shots fired.
Oh, shots fired.
I activate Angry Duke right now.
Shots fired!
I think people seem to have skipped Dragon Cancer and began questioning the motives of the people who built it.
Why?
Dragon Cancer won't say...
This is new. This is something that happened as soon as the game came out.
Dragon Cancer won't... Well, he does make kind of an interesting point of thought as I was reading this. Dragon Cancer won't say how much it costs to make the game, and I've searched for it. From their own information, they released, they realized $105,000 from Kickstarter, and they've sold 14,000 games at $15, which is another $210,000. So in total, they have made $315,000. Now, if they didn't make money, maybe they didn't budget right. They only had 8 staff. And I was feeling bad about the next paragraph, but after reading what people comment about the article, we didn't make any money. I wasn't feeling quite so bad. Because, yeah, let's be honest here. How much did those people get paid for 3 years' work at 8 people? I don't know. But they made $315,000? I don't know. It seems like a lot of money.
That does seem like a lot of money. I don't know how game development works. I don't know what that gets you. I mean, you know, 300,000. Let's do some math here real quick. Hang on a second. I got a calculator. I'm pulling it up. Hang on. Calm down.
Hang on.
Buddy.
Hang on. Calm down.
All right. Here we go. Okay. 800,000 divided by... No, wait. 300,000, you said.
315,000.
15,000. 315,000 divided by 8 is 31,000... No, it's what? Divided by 8? Hang on a second. I must be doing
something. Hang on a second.
315,000.
I'm glad your calculator is working all
right. Equals. Okay, right. So that's 39,000. It's basically $40,000 per person for 3 years?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah,
that's
when you think about it that way.
Long?
No, it isn't.
So to say that they're making money off of that is not true. That's their salary. They have to live off of that. And that's not going to get much.
No, it isn't. It depends. I mean, it depends if all those 8 staff were full-time, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Or whether some of them just came in and did little bits here and there. I don't know.
Are there other costs, though? Like, you know, the
exactly.
tax.
I mean, making
tax,
the game itself.
Licenses, yeah. Corporation tax, all this sort of shit.
Yeah, there is all that stuff. Anyway, he carries on. Sorry, Duke. So we disagree with your point there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you, right. I have a business with Matt, who you know from Matt's Reviews.
We do know Matt. I know him personally.
We
paid met Matt.
More tax than Facebook did.
That's probably true.
That is true. That's 100% accurate.
Yeah. Because they paid nothing.
Because they paid jack.
They paid jack shit.
Next to nothing. They did pay something, but next to nothing. And yeah, the corporation tax that we pay is more than Facebook. So there's loads of VAT, like, rinses you.
Yeah.
But, you know, VAT is not really money that you have anyway. You just put it on and then you pass it on. It's weird.
You know, he does redeem himself slightly because he does say at the end of this, he said that, I was feeling bad about the next paragraph, but after reading what people commented on the article... we didn't make any money. I wasn't feeling so bad. People are mean.
Yes, they are mean.
I thought he was going to say the criticism which came out when the game came out, which was, oh, these people are profiting off the death of their son.
No. I think he was just sort of thinking they'd made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Anyway, says, sorry, Duke. I refuse to buy or play, but I did watch some reviews and some gameplay. Dragon Country is not a game for me.
That's fine.
I enjoy games for a form of escapism. I'm not an English teacher looking for a good cry. I'm happy that you enjoyed the story, but just because you like the story doesn't mean it's a good game. Like you said with Rock Band games, the people have spoken with their wallets. If it was a better game, it would have sold more copies.
Well, you know what, though? But that, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that, but I don't think that just because a game doesn't sell means that it's not a good game.
No, it just means that it's not necessarily...
It's not necessarily going a good game because it doesn't sell, but...
Yeah, it's just not got into the mainstream consciousness.
Right.
I guess. I did look at this. I must admit, Duke, I did look at getting this week when I decided not to get Adrift. I thought maybe I should buy that and play that. And then I looked in and I thought, I don't know whether I want to play.
Well, I don't blame you for feeling that way. I mean, it's not a, you know, it's not a fun experience.
No, I feel like it's going to just be really depressing.
Look, are there sad movies that you like to play?
There are, Yeah. Here's the thing, though. The thing that put me off the most, when I was reading some of the reviews on Steam, everyone's saying about all the Christianity stuff in it and all about faith and religion. I'm like, I'm not into any of that. I'm not religious in the least.
You know what? Neither am I. I mean, I'm not really. But here's the thing. I feel like a well-told story is a well-told story, especially if it can take me to a realm like that of dealing with religion that I'm not in myself. So I feel, you know, when that stuff started up in the game, I was kind of like, give me a break. But then, like, it did a good job of sort of showing me, like, look, this. If ever there was a time when you needed to feel connected to the divine, it's when you watch your son dying slowly from cancer. That'll make you ask some deep questions about what it's all about and whether you believe there's a God and what purpose religion can serve. So I agree with you that, you know, we have our guard up. And those of us who feel bombarded by religion on a regular basis might feel like, oh, here's another chance for them to bring this point into my life and try to proselytize to me. But I promise you that's not it, even a little bit.
I don't know. It put me off.
Well, that's fine. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. I would just say it's as silly for you to say I'm not going to play this game because it's religious as it would be for someone to say,
no,
I'm not going to play Dungeons & Dragons because it's satanic.
I'm not saying that it's because it's religious, but apparently it gets a bit, sort of, according to what I've read, and you know, obviously they're not necessarily true, I guess, or factual all the time. But it says it does start to sort of preach a bit about religion and stuff.
I totally disagree with that assessment.
Okay. Maybe I'll still give it a go. I don't know.
I think you really should.
Anyway, he says, I have emailed the company with a bunch of questions. I'm waiting for a response. I should point out that I do listen to a lot of audiobooks because I have tons of time to kill. So don't get me wrong, I enjoy a good story. I just don't want to play a very depressing game.
It's very depressing, no doubt.
Yeah. But in the end, they are just trying to make a profit off their son's death.
Ooh. Stop! That's hopefully a joke.
They will milk all the blood money they can. Oh, I guess what?
Seriously? Is that what you would say about someone who writes a book about their child dying from cancer? No. So why are we saying that about a video game?
It's difficult. I mean,
why is it difficult? Someone makes
because, for instance, right? If say for instance,
Alzheimer's.
Let me put it this way. Say for instance, somebody wrote about their son who had cancer, wrote a book about it and what they went through and everything.
Yes.
And they made millions of dollars because it was a bestseller and everybody bought it.
Yes.
Should you be profiting off that, or should they be giving that money to a cancer charity, for instance? So even if this game made money,
okay. No, here's the point. When someone goes through a horrible experience, that can serve as inspiration for creativity. Neil Gaiman said, when life gives you horrible experiences, you should use those horrible experiences to make good art. When you make good art, what you do with the money you make from that is up to you. And you know, if the pain of losing a child to cancer comes with a fat paycheck. I mean, look, when my dad died to cancer, I got his car. Now, is it right that I should get that car? Well, you know what? In a way, I feel like the universe.
Yeah, that's slightly different though, Duke, because that was just a buy. You know, and I mean this in the very, you know, the nicest possible way. But that was just happened because your father died. You didn't go out of your way to get that car or facilitate it happening.
Right. What I'm saying though is, if it came with a $2 million inheritance, I would gladly give that money back if it brought my dad back. All right. And I think these people probably feel the same way. And if you wrote a book about your child dying or going to dying from Alzheimer's or whatever for a parent, I don't think you're duty bound to give back money to charity just because you lost a loved one in a horrible way and you chose to write about it. I think that the act of writing is an illuminating process, and it can help us to get free in lots of different ways. And look, if you want to talk about people who make obscene amounts of money deserve, you know, should really give some back to society, I'm with you on that. That's the socialist ideal. Absolutely. Let's start with Martin fucking Shkreli and the CEO of Goldman Sachs, not a parent or somebody who lost a child to cancer and they want to write a story about it, and that helps them pay the bills for a few years.
I guess. I can see his point, though. I can see it from both sides. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting. Look, my point is, sorry, and I know I've been going on a little bit about this, but I feel deeply about this. Because, look, if we think that video games are a viable art form, then we think that they can be games should be able to be made for all the different reasons people make movies and TV shows and write books. And we shouldn't say these parents are profiting blood money off their dead child any more than we would say Martin Scorsese is making blood money off of movies because of Italian-American gangsters.
Yeah, but they're not a specific happening. It's a work of fiction.
Casino's based on a true story.
I guess. I don't know. It is weird. You are right. I mean, and I mean, if you put it to music, for instance, you know Coldplay, Fix You song?
Yeah.
That's about Gwyneth Paltrow's dad dying. That's what he wrote that song about.
Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven. Like, people use art as catharsis. We get the pain out, and other people feel a sense of solace when they hear that music because they've probably lost someone, and they're like, you know what? This resonates with me. And for me, that's exactly what happened with this Dragon Cancer, and I love him for it, and I'm probably going to buy the game for other people at some point just because I like to support the developer.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I will read the rest of this because obviously he sent it in.
No, they haven't. We should not read anything of his. I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry, but no, we've got to read it. They have a Kickstarter for a movie and maybe a book, and because even with the low graphics and the heart-filled tearjerker storyline, they are complaining about not making money and blaming everyone, but the fact that they didn't make a game that was not good enough to sell. I don't think that's the problem with this. I don't think they didn't make a game that was good enough to sell.
If Proteus is good enough to sell, then we can't be talking smack about that Dragon Cancer, okay? It's everyone's cup of tea. It's a depressing experience.
And that's more the reason.
Reasons not to play it. But don't talk about it's not good enough to sell. That's not even – no. I'm sorry.
And then he carries on. They miss the most important part, raising awareness to fight cancer, or their son's memory. Cancer is hard to deal with.
This isn't raising awareness about the pain of cancer.
But not every game will be a winner.
I'm not clear on this. Did he play it?
No,
he's not played it.
How does he
looked
know
at
what
it
does and does not raise awareness about?
I don't know. He carries on. As far as I'm concerned, this game was a non-profitable winner. They broke even and millions of people are more aware of cancer and Joel's memory will live on. This email was hard because I did a lot of research and did give this game a chance.
What?
I would like to apologize if I did offend anyone.
Well, you haven't offended me, but I just think I can't. I don't understand how he gave the game a chance if he didn't play it.
No, I think he had a look at it and he decided he just didn't want to play it. I don't know. I mean, that's
Madeline
as much as
was
he
watching
though.
PewDiePie playing this game.
He might have watched PewDiePie play.
No, Madeline
the game.
Was watching this today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he might have. Done.
Yeah, maybe.
He might
but
have
like, she, I
YouTube.
Said, "Is you know, like, what do you think of the game? She's it's sad."
Yeah, I mean, they have just out of interest, and this may enlighten people more. But a documentary has been released on Steam for that Dragon Cancer.
Yeah, I saw that actually.
Yeah, sure. So maybe that will give you more of an insight into what the thought processes were and, you know, why they made the game, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm always
says,
of the opinion of, like, if I don't know something about something, I very rarely put my two cents. I probably wouldn't talk about anything, really.
You're not a very good American, because that's not what you're supposed to
be. Yeah, that's true.
American. I don't know. Yeah, like, just
I haven't
American,
really looked
Ginny.
At much of this game, and I don't really know much about the people that made it, so... I can't really say anything about him.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, now for something not as depressing. Question of the week. Please play the last soundbite, which is the Batman versus...
Yeah, we'll play the Batman versus Superman.
Oh, my fallen parents. How I miss you.
We've got to... Oh, you're still doing this, huh?
It's called a day of mourning, butthole. Not 15 minutes. But you wouldn't know that, because you've never lost anyone close to you.
Not true. I lost Lois. Then I turned back time by flying around the world and fixing everything.
Well, we don't all have that power, now do we?
It's not about powers. It's about how much love is in your heart.
But...
Anyone can turn back time. Even you.
For real?
You've just gotta want it.
I do want it.
Then run. Run with your heart.
Get out of my way. I'm coming, Bobby.
This seems really mean, Superman.
You know, you're in his kill file, too.
Yeah, you can do it, Batman. Faster.
Oh, it's really awesome. Is that so? I assume that's from something. What's it
that's
from?
That's Robot Chicken.
It's from Robot Chicken.
Oh, nice. I love Robot Chicken.
So anyway, his question is, and I'll try and put this in a way that I think he means it. He's like, I think he means, have you ever given a speech to rally the troops or encourage people in some way, shape, or form?
I have. I wrote about this on a blog post one time about, it's on the Didactic Syncast or Synapse blog. If you want to find it, it's called Stages of Life. There was a Students for Free Tibet conference at one point, and I talked about East Timor, and I remember ending with the line about the question isn't whether Tibet will become free. The question is when will it be free and how many innocent people will die before it happens. And the audience was very receptive, and they were very positive, and it was a really good experience. And yeah, it was great.
Oh, there you go. I don't think I've obviously given lots of talks on stuff, but I don't think I've ever given a rousing speech to someone to rally the troops. So it's not that I can ever remember. What about you, Chinny? Have you ever done
that? I did a massive speech that inspired many, many people. There wasn't enough salt in the canteen, in the sachets that they provided. And you just got a sense of like, yeah, this guy gets it, you know?
We actually have some audio of Chinny's speech here. Let me play it for you.
Let's hear it.
Diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
The only way to become that diamond is by dedication, practice, and doing the shit that other people are too lazy to do.
That's right. That's exactly it. And, I did play Hans Zimmer's Time in the background while saying the speech. So, yeah, I don't know. Not really. You can't get an inspiring speech from somebody with a Black Country accent. You just can't do it, really. Like, you know, if Braveheart would have been a very different movie if it was set in the Black Country, because it would be they can take our lives, but they can't take our freedom. Who's behind me? Where's everybody gone?
You'd just sound bored, wouldn't you?
You know what I mean? Like, my accent is just an accent that just sounds fucking stupid. Like, and there's no way around it. You know, you could invent a real-life Short Circuit. I watched Short Circuit today. And, a walking, talking robot with feelings and be from the Black Country. And they go, forget it. I'm not interviewing him. Like,
see, Chinny is totally self-aware.
Yeah.
I mean, that is self-awareness right there.
Well, that's how I got through school, is self-deprecation.
There you go.
So if you take the piss out of yourself, it's like Eminem in 8 Mile. Like, he talks about all his flaws before they do, and he wins.
There you go.
Yeah.
He says, I have included a selfie. Yes, we've had a look at your selfie. It is a nice selfie. Very smart. Liking the tie there.
I'll get it up on the stream.
And I'll tell you what, his truck looks pretty impressive. It's a large truck going on there in the background.
He's got a snazzy tie. It's a very
Duke-like tie,
I have to say.
It is. It is a very Duke-like tie.
Yeah, see, we're more alike than you think, Jason.
Well, apart from your views on that dragon cancer, that is.
You're wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, he says... yeah, I've included yourself, your favourite truck driving businessman, Mr. Steve. P.S. I do love the show, and you guys are very entertaining. I'm very grateful that you guys take the time to read my emails. I would love the show, even if you didn't read my poorly written and the grammatical errors in my emails. Shout out to Stu for being able to understand them enough to make me sound smarter. And I do that. I edit the emails as I go along. I amend them in my head. It is kind of funny. And I just even amended that final bit for him, to make him sound nice and smart. I'm sure he is very smart anyway.
It's very Christian of you.
I know, I am that. That is me. That
I thought you said you didn't like religion. Bam, trapped in your own web of lies.
Bam, you caught me out, man. Shit. Anyway, we have got one other email, which is off Derek Sines, who's obviously back off his holidays because he was away. We didn't have one last week. He was away. And he says this, obviously it could never happen.
It couldn't happen.
All right, I see.
It could never happen.
I know what he's talking about.
England, a not-so-distant dystopian future, Thursday afternoon, about tea time.
No, that's not going to happen.
Is that the beginning of Good Omens?
I don't know.
No.
Possible. Maybe. It is possible, actually, that is. I think you might be right. I think you might be right.
No.
After England voted to leave the European Union and Donald Trump won the US presidential election, it's possible. He's going to build a big wall, man. He's building a wall.
Around himself.
Mercy on us all.
He's building a wall. That's going to cost $29 billion.
If Trump does get elected, that means Terminator 3 actually will happen.
It's already happened. I don't think he did himself any favours with his views on abortion and what should happen to ladies who have one.
What should happen to ladies according to Trump?
Well, he said that they should be punished in some way.
Right.
So anyway, he's
a classic guy.
That.
I don't know why he's not been president before. He's obviously
That guy is definitely an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, says after England voted, blah 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 blah, England became a country shunned by the rest of the world. After the success of the wall built along the US-Mexican border, the English government decided to build their own walls along the Scottish and Welsh borders. All commodities have been scarce, and in an effort to curb excessive use of resources, the powers that be have created the hated PEP squads, officially known as Personal Entertainment Police.
I have no idea where he's going with this.
Who knows? The PEP, isn't it weird that the people who email us in always email us weird emails?
Essays.
There you go. The PEP squads were created to ensure the population was brain chipped, which involved the surgical incision of a insertion of a microchip in the brain. The microchip was pre-programmed to allow the wearer one of five choices of personal entertainment. Personal entertainment was defined by law as that which involves the personal participation of no more than four people for recreational purposes. And these are the five official choices. Reading books, newspapers and magazines, physical or digital. Watching TV, no internet surfing, only TV and movie streaming allowed. Mm. Listening to music, which can include the playing of musical instruments. Playing video games with no more than four players involved. Mm. Surfing the internet as long as choices 1 to 4 are not compromised. Mm. So due to current limitations of the how the inserted microchips are pre-programmed, any pastimes which do not conflict with choices 1 to 5 are still allowed. So, veteran gamers, you have received your official summons to be brain-chipped, and short of going on the run from the PEP squads, you now have to make a decision about your own personal entertainment future. For those who refuse to choose, the unofficial sixth option is that the chip in your brain ensures that you cannot indulge in any of the above five choices. So what choice would the veteran gamers make? So you're only allowed to choose one of these.
That's a long way of saying choose one of these things.
Yeah, do you want to read books, newspapers, magazines, watch TV?
You came up with a whole backstory and everything.
You play video games.
If you could only do one of these things, which one would it be?
Or surf the internet. So which would you do?
Play video games.
Yep. So play video games. Duke?
Yeah, I'm inclined to say that. I mean, reading books is also great, but...
I can't read.
No, I think I'm going to go with books, because that's not entertainment alone. It's like information. And...
Yeah, I'm with you, Duke, on this. As much as I love playing video games, I think I would go with books as well.
No, I'll go with video games.
You see, I love listening to music as well, as both Duke and I do, and you do as well, Chinny. But music isn't enough on its own to... Yeah, I listen to music while I do other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The only time I read is when there's a menu at a restaurant. I struggle with that, to be honest. I don't even make it all the way through that.
Okay. Do you not read comics?
No. I've never, liked comics. Ever.
I'd go with books. Now, Derek would go with choice number three, which is listening to music.
There you go.
So he would go with the music. An interesting question. I like that. I like the roundabout way he asked it. But, you know, yeah, I would definitely go with books, because I've read books since. So, do you know what? The first book I ever read was Moon, I think it was called, by James Herbert.
Are you sure that wasn't Dune?
No, it was definitely Moon. No. Yeah, Dune is a totally different book. And that was when I was about 12 years old.
The first book I read was Poon, about the Poonani that was available in...
I mean, my brother used to read, I used to read Famous Five stories when I was a kid, but then I sort of, you know, you like grow out of reading.
What about Famous Five and then the less popular Magnificent Seven?
Yeah, Magnificent Seven.
Which was basically a ripoff of the Famous Five.
That's it.
Talking about stuff, there's a movie that came out, which there I don't like superhero movies, as I've already...
Yeah.
I like... The Nolan Batman movies, because, you know, they're good. But the Batman versus Superman thing came out.
It is meant to be shit.
And for some reason, me and Tara were going to the cinemas this week on Wednesday. We said, we're still going to the cinema? Yeah, we said we would. Let's go. Next day, we're still going? Yeah, let's go. Wednesday come, cinemas tonight? Yeah. And then we sort of, coming from work and all this. Do you want to go to the cinema? And she was like, no. And I was like, neither do I. Why are we going? I don't know. It's because we said we would.
That's what you do on the weekends.
It was a Wednesday. And she said...
Oh, well, then never mind.
She said, well, I thought you wanted to watch Batman versus Superman. I was like, no. I thought you wanted to watch it. She was like, no. I was like, oh, thank God we didn't go out then.
Yeah, really?
So we didn't go.
It's meant to be rubbish. We watched a movie, actually, this last week. We watched 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like it much.
Did you like the first one?
Yeah, it's nothing like the first one. It's absolutely nothing like it.
Yes.
very, very loosely.
Oh, really? It is?
Kind of.
Oh, I was taking the pick. I didn't really realize it was.
No, it is. That's what I said to students.
It is, but it's not. It is and it isn't.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
It's connected to it, but...
Is it found footage again, or is it...
No.
It's like a film.
It's a completely
different...
Is it
like a sequel to The Blair Witch? Because The Blair Witch Project had a sequel where it was filmed like a normal film. You know what I mean? I.e. like the camera isn't really there. And
this is filmed like a completely normal film.
Yeah, and the idea behind The Blair Witch was that the first film was real and they're investigating it.
Yeah.
So yeah. The second film. Sorry, is it anything like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's an interest. I like the concept of it. I thought the concept was great. But the execution, it lost a lot of steam towards the end. And it got a bit boring in the middle. Considering it's a film that's only an hour and a half long. It's okay. It was only okay. I like the concept's interesting. But it's a very, very tenuous link to Cloverfield. You know, there's more connection with just 10 Cloverfield Lane than there is with the film Cloverfield. Mm.
Yes.
There is a link. There is a definite link to it.
So it's based on Legend of Zelda?
It's kind of that.
Get it?
It's kind of that. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But it was all right. I like that. Like I say, the beginning, the sort of setup and the beginning and sort of towards the middle is good, and then it kind of loses steam in the last part of the film.
Does it
really
have online video games?
There's definitely no online video games.
Well, like Tustin said, it's not the Magnificent Seven; it's the Secret Seven.
Oh yeah, it was Secret Seven.
Mm. Are we ready for the speak pipe now?
Yeah, let's do the speak pipe.
Speak pipe.
Speak pipe. It's the way to leave a message for us.
All right, this speak pipe comes from Lord Jason, the real Lord Jason, not that fake Lord Jason I was joking about earlier. It's called "I Lord Jason and I Can't Shut Off the Background Noise." 1:17.
Hey guys, I just started watching House of Cards, and started getting me to think about video games and actors. And we've had a lot of actors, actresses come in these video games, but who would you love to see in a video game? Like, you want to see your favorite actor, like Tom Hanks, Ethan Hawke? Like, who do you want to see? That's my question for you guys today.
I think Brad Pitt.
My question for Stu is,
oh, whoops.
Dude, why are you hating on me all of a sudden? We used to get along. We were pals, internet pals. Now you're always brushing me off. It's that Jay's. It's him again. That's all right. I remember the days when you were taking up for me. But I guess my comments about Verbal Rob's hair and everything's got you all upset. That's all right. A little bit of jealousy. No problem. They got a great show too, dude. Back off the hate. Recommend some Waz. You're starting to slow down.
All right, that's the end of that.
Wow, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, you are starting to slow down in your Waz games, though. We said this.
I am. I said that earlier in the show.
You're becoming mainstream, man.
I am.
You've changed.
I am. I've changed.
Jason's right.
Oh, no. What am I going to do? I don't know. I'll fight. Don't worry. There'll be some Waz games that appeal to me this year at some point time. I don't know.
D4's right up his street, though, isn't it?
Yeah, he's played that already, yeah. I think, anyway.
So maybe you brought him back this week.
Maybe I brought him back a little bit.
Stop hating.
I know. You've got to stop the hating the haters.
Stop the hate.
Yeah, stop the hate, man. What was his question? What was his question earlier in the speech?
Like, favorite actor?
Oh, yeah, favorite. Yeah, what actor would you like to see in a video game?
I think Brad Pitt could be interesting in a video game. He's a.
Do you know, it's weird. Because I thought of Brad Pitt as well as he was saying it.
Hey, he's a sexy motherfucker.
Sexy, yeah.
Sexy motherfucker. What about Morgan Freeman? He's also a very good actor.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
That was the first time I saw Andy.
Andy Dufresne. I don't know. Who would be a quirky actor or actress that we could have in a video game?
I want to see more comedians in video games because Stephen Merchant in
Portal
2, I think... you know, someone like Ricky Gervais, who was in
GTA 4.
He was in GTA 4, but like he was playing GTA. He was playing Ricky Gervais on stage.
He was just doing Ricky Gervais stuff.
You know, someone like Bill Burr or Louis C.K. or, you know,
Hannibal. Hannibal,
or, you know, even Hannibal. You know, a more mainstream comedian, you know, like Kevin Hart, you know, who's funny, but he's a bit, he's the same guy every film, but
yeah, it's true.
Just, but at least like it would feel different in a video game. Do you know what I mean? Like having a character like Kevin Hart or Eddie Murphy or, you know, something like that, like a good comedian in a video game would be great. Lee Evans. How good would Lee Evans be in a video game?
Oh my God. It'd be amazing. Can you imagine that? I can't watch Lee Evans. He just sweats all the time.
Yeah,
he
wouldn't
have
to. It'd be a video game. Pool,
I guess. So, at least you won't have to see him sweating.
Yeah. Jeez. Justin said Christopher Wack.
Yeah, he'd be good. He'd be good in a video game, wouldn't he? He's got a good voice. I guess they are, like, mainstream actors are becoming more prevalent in video games, aren't they? So,
yeah.
It is slowly happening, but again, it depends on budget, because, you know, these people charge
they
a lot of money
for
their time. They don't. You know, so the likes of Call of Duty can get Kevin Spacey because he can pay him the wonga that he demands to do it. That's it.
The
Kadoinks. The Kadoinks. But you know, you get these people doing, you know, tiny little indie games, are they? You know what I mean?
Danny Wallace did some indie games, but he's into video games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's not like a massive movie star.
No, he's not. But, you know, he does okay. You know, I bet he's not cheap.
Yeah, he does okay.
He? You know, like he wrote Yes Man and so on and stuff.
He does all
right. He does okay. You know, he's known.
He is.
And he was the British guy in Assassin's Creed and whatever. So, yeah, but I feel like most of the time, it's usually actors that have a slight interest in it. You know, you ever get actors...
Yeah.
Like, Kevin Spacey strikes me as the sort of person that tries new things. You know what I mean? Like, he was quite a big pioneer of, like, getting new content on Netflix. You know, when Netflix was new and it was a bit unknown, House of Cards was a thing that he pioneered. That he said, like, people want stories. They don't want to be drip-fed or, you know what I mean? They just want the story. How they get it is not really important to them. So he was a big pioneer of it, you know, and he's been on indie movies. He's, you know, he started his career on indie movies and things like, you know,
and he's done a lot of stage stuff in the UK, hasn't
he? He does a lot of stage stuff in London. He did Moon, you know, which is a tiny movie for him. You know, I feel like that he had some sort of interest in doing something slightly different. So doing something for, like, you know, he's probably heard of Call of Duty or whatever. And he's like, you know what? Never done that. So
you
let's
know,
do it.
He plays in the movie, in House of Cards, he plays God of War. And there's some other video game references as well in that show.
Maybe
he is a bit more into it than I'm giving credit for. But, you know, I feel like Hans Zimmer did the score for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, I think.
Yeah.
And he simply said, I wanted to do it because I've never done it before. You know, they're just more open-minded to it, whereas somebody like Matt Damon and Tom Cruise completely reject video games. Like, they completely, like, don't want their likeness in there, don't want their voices in there. That's why you've never had a Jason Bourne game with Matt Damon's face on there. That's why all the games based on Tom Cruise movies never have Tom Cruise in there. Like, Minority Report was based on a completely different character, so they can't borrow their faces because they completely just reject the idea of video game. So I feel like the actor has to be sort of into it to do it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, as we know, the landscape of video games has changed a hell of a lot, even in just the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's time, isn't it? Like, you know, we're getting to a point now where, like, you know, anybody around, like, 40 and below has played a video, like, we're grown, like, they just brought up on video games. And if you're older, then you're more likely to have people that did like them and didn't like them. Do you know what I mean? Like, but now, they're so relevant in culture. Like, everybody knows what Minecraft is. If you're a child, you know, if you're not playing a video game when you're a child, you might be considered a bit strange, to be fair.
Yeah, they start them young these days, man.
Yeah, so, like, it's like not having a TV. Remember there was a kid at school that didn't have a TV?
Yep.
Right, and you're like, what the fuck? All right, but like, that's like computer games now. So, you know, when these old people die, and you know, video games will be just culturally relevant everywhere. Like Elijah Wood loves video games, and he was in that Broken Age because he loves them.
See, that's another obviously famous actor that's done video games. So it does happen.
I think they've got to be into it to want to be, because it's not about the money, is it, for them? Like Elijah Wood's not struggling. You know what I mean? Like he's not he didn't do Broken Age because he needs the money. You know, he's doing it because he wants to do it.
Yeah. Because he wants to do something different, you know. It's extending your range, I guess.
DiCaprio, he'd be good, wouldn't he?
Yeah, DiCaprio would be good.
I don't think he's shown any interest in doing video games, but he
Robert De Niro, he'd be good.
Yeah, he'd be good. Joe Pesci, let's just go there.
Let's
get a Scorsese
cast.
A Scorsese made video game.
Mafia game.
De Niro. Mafia 4, directed by Scorsese, featuring De Niro, Pesci, and DiCaprio. I would blow my load. Oh my God.
That would be amazing.
Jesus Christ. I would play the hell
out of that.
It would
just be the best video game ever made.
It would probably sell a lot of money.
Billions, man.
People would get that who had never played a video game before.
You should tweet Scorsese and let him know your idea.
Marty, I got an idea. Let's meet up on Skype.
I'll only take 30%.
Yeah.
Right, okay. That being said, we do need to get some shout-outs and get the hell out of here.
The Sky segment of the show.
It was.
It's time for a shout-out. Hey!
Oh, my God. So, shout-outs. Who's going?
I'm going to shout out Step J.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to shout out Step
J. I have no idea where you're going to shout out.
Step J is now a father.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Congratulations, I guess.
You guess.
Anna.
I guess.
Anna Janice, I believe her name is.
Nice.
Born on the 2nd of April at 7:55 p.m. The baby and the mother, Diana, are doing very well.
Yay.
So, congratulations to Step J. That's probably why he hasn't shown up in the Twitch chat today, because he's busy covered in shit or something like that. I did text him back saying congratulations. I won't be seeing you on the division then. And he hasn't texted me back, so he's obviously been busy.
Yeah, he's up to his elbows in yellow baby poo.
Yeah, there you go. So congratulations to him. Good stuff.
There you go. Well, I will obviously shout out Jason Gallagher because I love the guy. I don't know why he thinks I've been hating on him. I haven't been hating on him.
Well, before we started recording today, you said, I hope Jason Gallagher doesn't write in because I hate him.
That is true, but that was for a different reason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so no, I love you, man. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know. What's your beef, baby? What's your beef? So I'm going to shout out him. I will also shout out the Skip to the End podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because I gave this a go. There was some love. We were getting some love off. I can't remember who did the love.
I'll find out.
I'm just scrolling down now to find out who gave us the original love.
Somebody.
Viva La Pedros, was it?
No.
Who did the original love?
No.
Chopper Kelly.
That sounds right.
Chopper Kelly. So, yeah, big love to Chopper Kelly because he said he's tried a few new podcasts, which are the Veteran Gamers, Big Red Barrel, MidlifeGamer.net podcasts, yourselves included. Made me unsub to my usual dull listening.
Yeah.
So there you go. We've made him unsubscribe to his old podcast and he listens to us and other people.
But yeah, he mentioned this in a tweet alongside Skip to the End podcast, right? Is that right?
I don't know. I'm trying to look where the Skip to the End podcast came
I think this chap who said he's unsubbed from his other boring podcast mentioned us, another podcast. I believe it was The Boss Wave, the same coin, and Don't Skip to the End. And I'd never heard of Don't Skip to the End. So
no, actually, no, it was all right. Actually, no, it's off. Stev Grolsch did the Stev Grolsch did the one with the same coin, Boss Wave, and the Skip to the End podcast and us.
Yeah.
So thank you for that as well.
So Skip to the End, good show.
I quite liked it. It's a movie podcast. Yeah, it's a movie one.
Right. I don't listen to any movie podcast.
No, well, I listen to, obviously, whatever it's called. I've lost my track.
Do they spoil all a movie podcast? I just feel like, wouldn't they just spoil everything?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they do.
Right.
Because it was the Batman versus Superman one. I haven't seen the film, but I wasn't that bothered, so I did listen to it this week's show that they did. But then they also do they'll go back and watch a classic film and talk about that for a bit.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that was quite cool. So they talk about two films every episode.
Very good, very good.
So they talk about like an old film and the new film.
Very good.
And obviously decide whether it still holds up today, the old film, and you know what the new film was like. So it was pretty good.
Yeah. I do like the idea what the same coin do, where they play an old game and see if it holds up. But
we've sort of done that a couple of times, haven't we? But we just don't keep anything.
We
up.
Did that a long time ago, and we just couldn't.
We did it. We called it. Do you remember? We called it Retro Rental Review. Do you remember?
Yeah,
that?
We did. Yeah.
Retro Rental Review. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
We could call it the revive of the Retro Rental Review.
We did do that. We used
Resurgence.
To do it. So anyway, well, thank you very much to everybody who gives us any love on the Twitter sphere. It's always nice to get love. So over to you, Duke.
I'll give thanks to the usual suspects, you guys, and Gary Amras, and Rogue Outlaw, and Verbal Rob, Chris MJW. People have been tweeting at me. I don't feel so good. I think I haven't eaten enough today.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, sorry. So I guess it's a headache.
Two, three, drink some water.
Yeah, drink some water. Anyway, we're nearly finished, so that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. So anyway, thanks to everybody who's been tweeting at me, and Jason, and Mr. Steve, even. I will thank you, even though I hate you. I don't hate you. I just disagree with you. But, yeah, and thanks to the dude who bid on the Rust cross-stitch. The sale ended with one bid, which is disappointing, but whatever. We raised $50 for the homeless organization here. And
I mean, it could have gone unsold, so at least you sold it, I guess.
It could have gone unsold. The dude was like, I can't believe you didn't get more bids, man. The artwork looks great. I was like, well, thank you, and enjoy your...
Now, you see, I did think about this, right? And I have to say, had you done a Portal 2 one, or, you know, a GLaDOS or something like that, it would have probably had more bids, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? Something more mainstream.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible, but...
Rust is pretty popular.
It is, but it's still a bit niche. It's still a niche game.
A million copies, dude. That's not.
I know, but I still think.
And here's the thing. Look, it got 120 likes. It got a bunch of retweets. Like, people respect the thing. It's just that doesn't translate into money.
Yeah, I didn't want to pay more than $50 for it.
Well, it's frustrating, especially because I wasn't taking any of that. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
Hey, I don't know. Always $50 for something that you made, I'd say, is pretty good going.
No, I do. I agree. I think it's always a weird thing, though, eBay, because if you'd have put sales of, say, like $5 starting, you know, you never know. If you'd have got a few people bidding for it, it might have gone higher than 50. It's a weird thing, isn't it?
That's possible.
Yeah, it is a weird thing.
I guess. I don't know.
I wouldn't let discourage you too much.
No, definitely
selling
not.
Something for 50 quid that you made is pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It's all good. Anyway, that's me.
And that's it, I guess.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
So we need to get the hell out of here.
Cool. Don't forget, we are broadcasting on the 12th of April 10th.
Tuesday night. 10th? Tuesday night, yeah. 10 o'clock. Later as well. Late to start. Yeah.
All right.
Damn.
All right, guys, I'm sorry, but I'm really not feeling that great all of a sudden, so I'm going to head out.
No okie dokie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Duke.
Thanks, everybody.
Hi. Hi. That's it. He's gone.
Gian.
Yeah, he's gone. Bless him. Oh, I hope he's feeling better. Soon, he says. Righty-ho. Well, on that note, Chinny, I think I'm going to love you and leave you as well.
No worries.
And, hopefully you'll get a hold of... Quantum Break this week, and then we can maybe have a chat about it next week. See what we think about this weird new amalgamation of game stroke TV show all in one.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a busy week next week.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I was debating whether I nearly cancelled my pre-order, but then I thought, you know what, I'm gonna give it a whirl because it is something totally different, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. So
do you know?
So when's Thursday? I'm going to Banbury. Right, I'm going to Snetterton.
Wherever that is.
East. very east.
Okay.
And then Saturday I'm filming at the Wolves. Whew, a lot of travelling this week.
No rest for the wicked, man.
Oop, shit. Just dropped the GoPro.
There you go. That's always good. It's all right. They can take some shit.
Yeah, they can take some shit. Yeah. So I feel like I'll probably get it on Wednesday or Thursday, but
yeah,
I'm going to be driving.
But you'll get to play. But you've got till next Tuesday, haven't you? So I guess some extra time.
Saturday's not too bad. I mean, I'm filming at the Wolves, but that'll be like 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
So I'll say to Tara, like, hey, I've got this new game. I'm going to be playing this. Go watch your Vikings.
Go and read some games.
Yeah, she'll be happy with that. She'll be well chuffed with that.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll try and get some good... I might not finish it, but I'll get some good time into it.
Yeah. No worries.
Cool.
Okie dokie, mate.
All right, mate.
I will leave you to it. Thank you very much.
No worries.
See you later.
See you.